The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Happy holidays and welcome back to the Bright Side. This is issue number 111, Grogu. And if you don't know what that means, hey, no harm, no foul. If you do know what that means, then you know we have a lot to get to, especially in Kryptonite Key Club, where we talk all the spoilers. But tons of show to get to before that. We have a bunch of quite a few books to talk about this week. John and I had a blast with that. But we really have a lot of fun with Kryptonite. I don't necessarily agree with John on all of his points, and he has quite a few, actually. And I think he's getting a little picky, but that's the fun. So, hey, can't agree on everything, right? So, happy holidays, everybody. Let's get into the store. Happy holidays, John. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Now I'm all pumped.
There you go. It's that time of year again. You gotta enjoy the Christmas music.
Okay.
I was all excited. I forgot all about that. Remember we did that last year?
I do.
Yeah. We used that song last year as well. Love that song.
I recall. I thought I was time traveling for a second.
Yep. Yeah, we don't have that kind of technology on this podcast.
No.
Maybe in year four. Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah. Maybe.
Then we could just start going back and replaying and living it up. We don't need the time travel though, John. We have a huge show that you have been super excited to get to. You've done something you've
well,
never,
don't make it
ever...
bigger than what it, don't make it bigger than what it is, because you know, people are going to be all excited.
Hey, Christmas music's playing. Everything's bigger than life right now. It's a happy, happy time of year. Happy holidays. So
it is.
You text me like out of the blue and told me to put out a teaser. You've never done that before. So I can't wait. And I don't know. You haven't told me yet anything.
No, I was going to send you the list, but
no,
I didn't want you to have time to write all these rebuttals, you know, for a week.
Right.
I didn't want you to have a week to, like, you know, prepare your arguments. It's not that there's arguments or anything.
It's
but,
in the garage, John. It's
yeah, okay.
You know, the suit's in the garage. It's easy to explain out, okay? a body in motion stays in motion. Do I have to go over all of them?
You do, yeah, you do.
Long-time listeners are going, please don't start that again.
Yeah, don't start that in-game nonsense again.
Yeah, very excited for that. That's excited. Wouldn't you send me that Saturday or something?
Probably. I'm not even sure what
could have been Friday.
What prompted it. Oh, it was Friday afternoon. I didn't watch it until Friday night, so it had to be Saturday morning.
I've been dying for you.
What even? I don't even remember what started that conversation.
You did.
Now, but
out of the blue, you texted me. It's you just.
Oh no! Right, because I wanted you to have the title, because you always ask me what the title of the show should be.
Okay,
so I texted you the idea for the title, thinking that it's not really a spoiler, because if you know what it means, you already know.
And
if you don't know what it means, you won't be able to figure it out just by reading the title.
Right.
So, and then that kind of, prompted us to speak about the episode briefly.
Yeah. So we'll get more in. I can't wait to get into that in spoilers. We also have Daredevil we'll talk about in spoilers, because that was an interesting book today.
Yes.
And we have a few books to talk about. I have another book that you enjoyed it as well. You've already talked about it, so that's not really a spoiler. I've been waiting for this book, Erratic, so I can't wait to talk about that one with you as well. But what do we have for news this week? Obviously, you want to lead off with David Prowse?
Yeah, the big news this week came on, was it Sunday morning, I guess?
Something
we
like
lost,
that.
We lost another one of our childhood icons. David Prowse passed at 85 years of age. So I think at this point we have only three
left from like the main Star Wars cast.
Yeah, the original trilogy.
Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, and Anthony Daniels. Everybody else at this point has passed. So, you know, our childhood is slowly dying off, unfortunately.
Billy Dee Williams?
He came with Empire, so I don't consider him necessarily one of the original. Okay. He's obviously, obviously he's a main cast member.
Right.
And yes, he is still with us. But
David Prowse was the opening scene of the entire thing.
Yeah, well, and he's the one out of all of them that gets a little bit slighted, I guess, because he shares a co-credit with James Earl Jones.
Right.
As far as Darth Vader goes, and a lot of people really consider James Earl Jones to be Darth Vader more than David Prowse, even though, you know, all the physicality and everything that was brought to the role was all David. So, I think he's one of the unsung, I don't want to say quote unquote heroes, because he played, you know, the greatest villain ever.
But, right.
You know, he gets less credit than everybody else. And, you know, I'm sure you listened to the Ralph Report today. They were talking about a few things that I didn't even know. He had some issues with the whole Star Wars franchise.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know all of that. I mean, I knew a few things, but you know, there was some tensions with him and George Lucas.
Yeah,
and you know, David really didn't get his due until, you know, probably years later with the convention circuit and, you know, when they started really becoming, you know, quote unquote celebrities again. I think that's when he found his respect, you know, I guess, for the role. So
I thought I told you that. Yeah. Yeah. It was really sad.
A big loss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big loss. That's the first thing I thought of too, is the trials he went through with Star Wars.
Right.
It's like he didn't know he wasn't the voice until he saw the movie.
Right.
And that's
right. Which I did know.
That's sad.
But I didn't realize that he and George had such a falling out, you know, kind of in between.
He was very
movies.
Upset. Yeah. He admittedly had said he was very upset about it. I would be too. I think that's kind of a, you know, it's kind of like playing in the NFL and you find out you're cut on game day when you're out on the field in uniform.
Right.
Like,
well, and then even to the point where,
like, that's not my voice.
Where George kind of threw him a bone and said, well, we didn't use your voice, but in Jedi, we're going to use your face. And then they didn't do that either. So, he kind of got a raw deal all the way around, but, but like I said, he got the respect and the love of the fans.
Yes.
You know, as the time went by and, you know, I think there was probably some reconciliations that happened along the way, but yeah, like I said, another, you know, as far as we're concerned, another giant gone, because, you know, who looms larger than Darth Vader in our lives?
No,
not
I know.
Many, you know, not many.
Yeah.
So,
and he had the choice. He was the first, I think, to be cast. He had the choice between Vader and Chewie.
And Chewie, right.
And
he chose Vader. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, I saw a picture this week of all of them together.
Yeah.
And as big as David was, I mean, Peter Mayhew was still much larger. So I think it worked out for the best. Like, you know, obviously at this point we can't picture anybody else playing
either,
you know, the roles that they played, but I think it worked out for the best because, you know, Peter Mayhew was a lot taller and a lot lankier, you know, and David Prowse was really a bodybuilder, which, you know, you don't see, it doesn't really come through in the, you know, in the Vader,
it kind of does in the shoulders, I think.
Yeah,
I mean, if you
but
had
he was
a more slender,
you know, he was a really big man. So
I told you,
know,
a while ago, he trained Christopher Reeve, right?
Right. He right.
Yeah, that was
Superman.
Pretty cool.
And you know, he was training and hanging out at the time with like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, all the big, you know, bodybuilders there in the '70s. You know, he was part of that crowd. So I think he made a better Vader than he would have Chewbacca, but. Yeah.
And you've heard the audio of him playing the role of Vader, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Lucas made the right call. It was just,
yeah, no doubt that they made the right call. Exactly.
It's like,
but the thing is, it's like,
you can't.
if he, the problem is David acted those parts like he was acting the part.
Right.
Like, you know, if he knew ahead of time he was just delivering lines as a placeholder, I'm sure it would have been a lot easier for him, you know?
Right.
Because then he could have just said whatever, but, like, he really thought he was given a performance.
Yeah.
So.
But I think, could you imagine if you thought that you were, if you knew you weren't getting the speaking part, maybe you don't put the emotion into it and your body language would have been different.
Maybe.
You know,
I don't know.
You're kind of like going through the mo- like, I mean.
Yeah, I'm not an actor, so I don't know their process. He probably still would have put it, you know, like you're saying, he probably still would have put his feeling into it.
Right.
But, you know, he was really just saying the lines as a placeholder for the other people to respond off of. So, you know, he could have been a little bit easier on right. him, I guess, if he knew ahead of time.
So what I have to ask, because I want to compare it to what mine is, see if it's the same. What's your favorite Vader, David Prowse Vader scene? Which really stands out to you?
I mean, it has to be just the like when we meet him, right?
Yeah.
Like when he goes, yeah, when he goes through the Tantive IV there, right at the very beginning, like the way he breaks through, you know, breaks through that door and, you know, starts like, you know, choking out people and that, yeah, that whole opening sequence to me is the best. You know, his lightsaber battle with Obi-Wan is, you know, somewhat lacking, but, you know, his battles with Luke, you know, are a lot better.
Yeah.
But I don't even know if that was David in the suit at those, you know, for those things. So.
Yeah. But that opening scene when he lifts that guy up.
Yeah.
And even him talking to Leia in that scene and the way he's like looking down at her and shaking his hand in her face and, you know, kind of threatening her. But I also saw this on Twitter and it didn't even dawn on me, but that also shows like, you know, Leia and how they portrayed her and how strong of a character she was to be going up against this giant menacing figure.
Right.
And not
really intimidated.
Down. Right.
Yeah. Not really not being intimidated.
That was pretty cool for that character too. And pretty, revolutionary too at the time.
This
being
the
70s, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that opening scene, I mean, it pretty much affected the rest of our childhoods.
It did,
you know.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously you could go, you know, I can give honorable mention to the I Am Your Father scene, you know. I mean, that's
right.
Probably the most iconic, but to me it's not what stands out. You know, I think that first opening scene was...
Right.
Like I said, because it set such a stage and it was just something, you know, I've recounted this story before, but like I knew nothing, like I wasn't even aware of this movie going into it. Like you said you had probably seen commercials or whatever and you kind of knew about it. I didn't. I didn't even know what I was looking at. So for me, you know, when Vader burst through that door in the beginning as a 7-year-old, you're like, whoa, what is going on here?
Right.
You know?
Oh, so, yeah. It doesn't mean I'm
I hadn't
any more
even seen
aware,
his picture.
But yeah.
No, but you had probably at least seen
right.
him in the commercial or something, right? I hadn't seen
but
him
at that
all,
age,
so.
We didn't know was that a man? Were those stormtroopers men or robots?
I've talked about that before,
yeah,
too. I thought they were all robots.
Right.
You know.
So. That's how, as a 7-year-old, we justified them shooting everybody. You know, like, oh, okay, they're just
right.
robots. All right, cool.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
It says oil on the back of their armor, so I guess that's where the oil goes, right?
Exactly. That's so funny. And I always wondered how Han and Luke got into the robot suits.
Well, me too. That was the whole thing. It's like, how are they wearing the robot
suits.
Skin?
That's a lot of robot guts they had to pull out of there.
Yeah. We were 7.
Yeah, exactly. So, oh well. But yeah, that was too bad to see that. And I mean, yeah, Peter Mayhew was just last year, wasn't he? Or the year before?
I think it was the year before. I think. Yeah, I think it was 2 years ago.
Crazy.
He was the last, right? Kenny Baker was before Peter. So Peter was the last one that we lost. But yeah, really within the last few years, you know, going back to what, like 4 years ago, Carrie died and then it kind of went, you know,
yeah.
It started falling from there. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and Mark Hamill, you know, Mark seems pretty healthy still.
Yeah.
And so does even Harrison Ford seems relatively healthy.
As long as he doesn't crash another plane.
Yeah, that's true. But you just don't know.
Plane on fire,
you know?
There.
I mean, it's just getting to that point where.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
they're all gonna be going soon. So.
Yep. Then it'll be us, John.
Yep.
All right. Bright side. All right. Let's move on from there. Where would you like to go from here?
Well, actually, I'm going to move to Chadwick Boseman, speaking of people that have passed recently. So Disney Plus did a pretty cool thing.
Did you get to see it?
I did, yeah.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it yet.
They have added a tribute to Chadwick at the beginning of the Black Panther film on Disney Plus. Obviously, they haven't gone back to remastered the Blu-rays and the discs that are out there. But when you stream...
They're capable of doing that. Did you know that?
Oh, I'm sure they could.
They can actually put a download out. So you know when you put your disc in, if your player is attached to the internet, they can actually update stuff like that.
Does that, yeah. But yeah, it's basically they, you know, in the beginning of the movie where they show like the Marvel and all that stuff, there's a bunch of clips. Instead of like the Marvel, like the comics flipping through, it's all Chadwick, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. And it's clips from, obviously, the Black Panther movie, but it's also got clips from his other appearances in, like, Civil War and Endgame and Infinity War and all that. So that's pretty cool. It was nice to see them do that.
Yeah. That is really cool.
Yeah.
You know what's so funny? I was thinking, I'd like to, if they put it out on disc, I'd probably buy that disc. But if they put it out on disc, do you think that they would get, like, flack for going for a money grab? You know what I mean?
That's a tricky one,
isn't
right?
Isn't it?
But the thing is, I don't know, because you just update, like, they're constantly putting new pressings of this disc out onto the shelves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, so you just update the new ones, and nobody's forced to go back and rebuy the movie if you already own it.
No, but it would come off as like, hey, especially if they put out an ad saying the new Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah,
you know,
but I think if you just, you know,
tacky, but I would still want it.
Yeah, on future pressings of this movie, you know, whenever they have to go back to press again and put more of them out there,
right?
You know, they could do it that way.
It is pretty cool what they did, though, on Disney.
But I mean,
you
know, how many
put it on Disney
how many
Plus.
Different versions have we? How many different times have we bought Star Wars? You know, like if I buy Black Panther twice, I'm still way ahead of Star Wars. You know what I mean?
I've already bought Black Panther three times. I have the standard, I have the 4K, and I have the 3D.
Oh, so
I don't if they have come out with the Chadwick edition,
yeah, you'll have it four times,
right?
And that's still not as many times as you bought Bloodshot. So.
Yeah. I bought Bloodshot more than that inside of 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know.
But hey, it was all for research, John.
That's right.
I've got a serious couple of podcasts here I'm trying to manage.
I saved the receipts for my taxes.
Yeah. So government's going to look at me and laugh.
Yeah.
I wish I could write them off.
No, I
probably could.
You probably could at this point.
No,
you do
I could.
Yeah, you do a podcast that talks about these things.
Right.
Now, claiming, you know, proving that this is a job is something
else.
Well,
right. I've got 3 years to turn it around and turn it into something, and that's the trick. But I mean, I've been spending money on movies for years, so.
Oh, yeah.
It's nothing new. All right. Let's get to. You want to get to Wonder Woman 84?
Yeah, so this
we've been talking about this for a long
news.
Time.
This is breaking news for a certain subset of people, right?
Right.
Like, it's a big deal for you and I. You know, going back to Twitter this evening,
yeah.
Most mortals don't,
Mark,
don't
yeah,
care
that
about
was
any
great.
Of this.
What about us mortals? Yeah, well,
the news broke on
yesterday, Tuesday,
that Wonder Woman 84 is going to be the first film to stream on HBO Max in 4K, Dolby Vision, HDR, Dolby Atmos. I mean, it's going to have all the bells and whistles.
Yep.
So this is a huge deal for you and I. And, you know, people that care about that. Most people won't notice any difference
no.
to it. But this is a big thing because this was really, other than the fact that I would like to support a theater, my biggest obstacle of watching this at home.
This is where I wanted
having,
to go.
Yeah, was not having all these things available.
Right.
So it, to answer your question, it doesn't change my mind, but I feel less bad if I have to watch it at home.
Chat, not the Change My Mind podcast. So, okay, right. We're cool.
but I am still set on going to the theater to see this on the 26th. My problem now is that it dawned on me today that I'm going to my daughter's house for Christmas, and they may very well be streaming this thing on a loop all day on Christmas Day. So I'm going to have to do what I can to stay away from it. Or, John,
you could just get up in the morning, turn on your system, watch it in the appropriate 4K HDR with Dolby Atmos. Then you can continue to watch it on a loop, then go and enjoy it in a theater when you get a chance. It's like I am going to do. I'll still have my feety pajamas on, and I will be watching this with my breakfast popcorn.
I could do that now, but you know, now I'm turning myself into like a hypocrite if I watch. I've almost painted myself into a corner.
All right,
you know.
Truth be told, there's a little bit of pretzel and nudie, and a little bit of nudie and pretzel. Maybe I should rephrase.
Yeah. that sounded way dirtier than I meant it.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. But no, I'm the one that said Wonder Woman would never come out on Christmas Day. And look at me now. And I was the one that said I don't ever want to see day and date releases. You're allowed to change your mind, John, because, I mean, it took a pandemic to change my mind.
True.
And again, this is a Bright Side Chat, but hey, we're changing our mind. But yeah, it's... You said you wanted to see it in the best possible. Now with 4K and Atmos streaming, yes, it's
right.
Not
it might be better at my house.
Yeah, it actually might be better at your house would be at the theater. So,
I have a smaller screen for sure, but I probably have better sound.
Oh yes, absolutely. And if you'd like to see John's theater, you can go to the Brightside Home Theater website and check out Sacconi Cinema.
Shameless plug.
Ah, no shame. It's not shameless.
No shame.
No shame. that would be shameless. But yeah, very excited about that news. I mean, we said it. We're like, maybe cross our fingers, hopefully. Right. What do you think of this idea? I think I put it out on my home theater Twitter about, do you think that they were planning this all along for the Snyder Cut, but Wonder Woman's just too big to not do it now?
Probably. And I'm sure since the news was broken by Patty Jenkins, she might have pushed a little bit for this too.
Maybe like
a consolation, knowing that, hey, this is my film that's not going to be in the theaters now.
Right.
Can we at least get this? Because I did all this work to you know, have this sound mix and, you know, to have all this stuff. And, you know, I want people to be able to experience it. So I think she played no small part in that, to be honest with you, because she broke it.
Right.
But yeah, this was probably going to be Snyder Cut.
Right, the big release.
Right. Now, here's the little bit of negative to this announcement, is that this doesn't turn all these features on to HBO Max, unfortunately.
No, not right away.
Not right away.
We're going to get a gradual rollout, which in a way, I hate it. I absolutely hate it, but it's kind of fun. In a way, because they're going to release like, oh, now this movie, and it'll get people, it'll tease people and get people to be like, oh, now I want to see this movie in 4K.
It will, but like their existing content that's already on the service that already exists in 4K is like, we shouldn't have to wait any longer for that. Like Game of Thrones should just turn on Christmas Day in 4K.
Right.
They don't have to do anything to remaster it. It's already there.
All the like DC this, Universe stuff too.
Yeah. This, like I said, unfortunately just doesn't turn everything on, which leads me to think, like, the infrastructure, like, they didn't just start testing this.
No.
Like, they've had the capability to do 4K and Atmos all along,
right?
I guess, you know, and they just have chosen not to turn it on. So that is a little bit frustrating too, because I'm glad we're getting it from Wonder Woman, but if you can do it, why haven't you done it already?
I think they're using it as a marketing tool for just that reason, to get people to be like perk up and go, ooh, that'll make me keep it another month. I'll be able to keep it. Speaking of a month, I saw that since last week. Did you see that Wonder Woman's only on HBO Max for 30 days?
I did. I actually knew that kind of from the beginning.
Oh, did you? I missed that.
I think that was in one of the original news stories. But yes, we didn't cover it, though, when we talked about it. But yeah, it's only a 30-day thing. And then I don't know how long it goes away for, but I'm sure it'll be.
It'll probably go away for a little while, and then we'll get our it'll come back to the streaming, and your physical media will come out a few months later and stuff like
that. A few months later.
Basically the normal cycle from when it's in theaters. And it might also be, I really like it. It might be the way they do things. And it's going to lead into another movie coming out. You pull that down and put something else up there.
I mean, honestly, for me and for you, I will only ever watch it on HBO Max until the day it comes in disc. And then I'll never watch it on HBO Max again.
Oh, you know what I mean? Of course.
So I don't really care if it's only there for 30 days, because I'll watch it two or three times in that month. And then, I'll wait until the disc comes.
But most people just watch it like they use, Disney Plus, HBO Max, and their media servers. That's where they get all their content. That's fine.
Well, again, you and I aren't most
people. No, we are not. Nudie and Pretzel are different.
We are unique individuals.
Yeah.
putting it kindly.
To tie all of this home theater talk into comic books, it is no small coincidence that all of this press, all of this news, does anybody notice that the comic book fan base is the biggest, most lucrative fan base out there? Because
we've been saying that for years.
That's our podcast. Of course we have. But it's like all of these big release, Tenet couldn't do it. I bet you Titanic, that movie, couldn't have done something like this, especially leading up to it, because you wouldn't have known. Everybody would have been like, great. I mean, it turned out to be a great movie, a great money maker, but going into it, it was like anything else. The boat sinks. What's the big deal? But
I know the end.
Yeah, exactly. But these comic book movies are the most, biggest money-making movies out there, and they're all tied to these home theater things that we enjoy. But it's like, that's where the money is. And it's because of the comic book fan base, the comic cons, and the world has figured it out. We're the most passionate, absolute most passionate fan base out there.
Yeah, just ask Martin Scorsese.
Right, yeah. Those aren't real movies.
Or Alan Moore, for that matter.
And like you said, we're a small part of it because we're also in that home theater part where we really care about the audio and video quality. But that's a very small subset. But the comic book fan is just the fandom, we just want more. It's huge.
Right.
And that's where the money is. And that's why this podcast just keeps raking it in, John.
Exactly. Exactly. Hand over fist.
Oh, boy. All right. Did you speaking of HBO Max? You see, they have a holiday spotlight page right now.
No,
did you see? It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's all holiday themed movies.
Oh, and, I'll have to look.
I'm on there like every other day. Don't be shocked. The last time I was on there, the most popular one was Die Hard, but then it worked. Its way down from there? Yeah, it's all like
in the holiday section.
Yeah, Die Hard, Lethal Weapon's on there. It gets into some other holiday movies, but it's all movies with holiday in the theme. Pretty cool. I believe Netflix is also doing the same thing. I haven't checked that one out yet, though. So if you're interested in anything like that, I know how festive you are this time of year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I am super festive.
Yeah, yeah. What else do we have?
The only other thing I have for news, I don't have it in my notes because I just saw it at dinner, but for fans of Vikings, which I know you have never seen, they're doing something interesting. So basically this season that they're in, season six, is the final season of the show. And it was split into two parts, like just about everything else. So the second half of the season, begins airing on December 30th. The interesting thing though is that the first 5.5 seasons of this show have all aired on the History Channel. But the second half of season six is premiering on Amazon Prime prior to it hitting the History Channel. So, I know Amazon Prime has the rights to, like, they're already streaming the first 5.5 seasons. So I'm sure this was somewhere part of their deal when they purchased this show. But yeah, I think that, you're like, look, I can't wait to see it. I love the show, and I'm dying to watch the finale. But I kind of feel bad for the History Channel. You know, it's like, hey, we had 5.5 years of this show, and we don't get to bring it home. You know what I mean? It's odd that they're doing that. But
they just they just don't get the numbers.
Maybe not, but well, they got the numbers for six seasons, though. I mean, it's the most popular show they've ever had. On that station. Well, maybe Pawn Stars is probably more popular, I guess. But
is that on there?
Pawn Stars is on the History Channel, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's just weird. You know, it's kind of like you said before, look, I suited up and I'm on the field to play the game, and I just got cut right at the last minute. Like, I would want to bring the series home. Like, they had the whole thing. From start to finish, yeah, except for the last chapter, you know?
If somebody offered more money.
That must be it, you know? Well, I mean, I'm sure.
Must?
And I'm sure the History Channel got a chunk of that, you know, because yeah. it's their original show, so.
Oh, then,
But then, you know, another part of that deal is that a sequel series, some kind of spinoff series is in the works, whether it's a prequel or a sequel, we don't know, but that's all being done for Amazon Prime as well. So,
oh, okay.
Obviously, Amazon jumped in and got involved with this show, and yeah, they're getting the end. So
maybe that's what, like you said, if Amazon's taking the ball from here, they probably wanted a transition to get eyeballs on it, because there's probably more people with Amazon Prime than are watching the History Channel.
Right, because and the fact that
think I watch the History Channel.
Right, but all the people that are into the show are obviously going to be looking for the finale. So,
right.
This is a way for Amazon to get
those eyeballs.
Get more eyes on their service. Yeah,
cool. It's a win-win. Sounds like to me.
It is. I know what you're like saying, I said. But... I'm just happy. I'm just happy to be able to see it, and I guess I'll be able to see it commercial free. So that's even a bonus too. But
there you go.
I just felt a little bad for the History Channel, you know.
Yeah,
but. But yeah, I was reading that at dinner, and I found that interesting.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it? Short news week.
Yeah, it is.
All righty. You ready to get into some comics then, John?
I am.
In this festive holiday season?
you keep pushing that.
I'm trying.
That festiveness. Festivicity? How do you say?
Festivitis.
Festivicitis?
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Festivus.
There we go.
Festivus for the rest of us.
Yep. All right. John, what am I going to spend my money on this week?
Well, if you can get a hold of it, Daredevil 25. Obviously, that was the biggest book of the day. Selling for between $25 and $30 at the moment for just the regular cover. I won't go into anything until... Kryptonite
spoilers,
Club, yep. I guess, is spoilers. But this is just yet another example of, I sure wish our publishing partners would trust us enough to let us in on their secret so we could order enough product to satisfy demand.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I had so many people looking for this book today. Now, granted, most of them were probably flippers that were just trying to make a buck. But... because, you know, honestly, if you haven't been reading the first 24 issues, why do you care about this one? Unless you're just in it for the money.
Right.
But still, it's like, in my mind, if you want to buy the book, I'm okay. I don't care why you want to buy it. I just want to be able to sell it to you. And I wasn't able to sell this book today to anybody except for people that already subscribed to it. Because as great as Daredevil is, unfortunately, it just doesn't sell off the rack, at least for me. You know,
right.
I mean, I'm subs plus one on this book, so I put one copy on the rack every week. or every month or whatever. And, you know, it does sell eventually, but it usually doesn't sell on Wednesday. You know, so in this case, you know, obviously that one shelf copy was not nearly enough to satisfy the people looking for this. So again, go out and pick that up today, especially since we're talking about speculator books. That's the whole reason why we're here. There's also a 1 in 25 variant for this that's selling for up over $100.
Oh wow!
So yeah, it's definitely a hot book. Next, also from Marvel, King in Black number one. So, you know, Marvel likes their secret variants, and this is no exception. There's what looks to be about a 1 in 5 variant on the main cover that replaces the Hulk with the Thing.
Mm-hmm.
So these are selling for between $20 and $30 at the moment. That will probably come down, though, as, you know, more of these hit the market. But there's also
a 1 in 10. I thought Slade told me this morning it might have been a 1 in 10, maybe.
That seems probably more accurate based on
the number.
My numbers. Yeah, I ordered 25 copies of the regular cover, and I got 3 of these. So in my case, it's 1 in 8-ish, you know what I mean?
Yeah, an average. They rounded up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an average. So, but yeah, so there's also just like last week with the X-Men, there's a Stormbreakers one per store variant on this
mm-hmm.
that was selling for $60 a few days ago, but it's already dropped into the $30 range. That's probably where it's going to settle. So, if you're looking to pick one of these up, I wouldn't go much more than $30 for it. There's also, since this is a big premiere book, so there's the two per store premiere variants that came for this. They're also selling for $30 a piece. And then there was a one per store launch variant, which is right around the same range. So, lots of variant covers for this book. There's tons of covers out there, for King in Black. So, take your pick. All right. Miles Morales 21. There's a couple of covers here. This was open to order, but still the In-Hyuk Lee nullified variant. It's selling pretty steadily on eBay at around $6. So it's not crazy over cover price, but it's selling pretty quickly. And then there's a 1 in 10 variant with Miles Morales. We've seen a few of these over the last couple weeks, and this one's selling for about $25, same as the rest of them. So pick those up if you can. And then last but not least, Sonic the Hedgehog 35 has a 1 in 10 variant, which is the usual price for these at about $20. So
cool.
That is it for speculator books.
I have a quick speculator story related to David Prowse.
Okay.
So obviously we know he passed on Sunday.
Right.
You know how I found out? Joe saw it on Twitter. And he comes up to me and he goes, "Did you see that David Prowse died?" I was like, "No." He's like, "Yeah." And this is what he had already put it in his cart and he hadn't bought it yet. It was a Darth Vader number one blank cover signed by David Prowse. And
oh,
it was
nice.
Like $7,500. That's what he was going to get me for Christmas.
Right.
But he didn't pull the trigger on it. When he went to buy it on Sunday after he passed, it had been taken down and selling for $250 to $300.
Relisted, yeah.
And he was like, "Oh!" I was like,
I mean, there's always the death profiteers, right? I mean, as soon as that happens,
right,
those things go crazy.
But it's, what are the odds? But
I know,
he was looking at it the day before and he just didn't pull the trigger on it. And it's like, but we kind of laughed at it. I felt bad for him, but we kind of laughed about it. We're like, how cool would it have been if he did buy it on Saturday and then he would have been, I would have opened on Christmas Day and been like, "Oh my God, what did you pay for that?" And he would have been able to tell me, "I was ahead of the curve."
Right.
But it's, you know, that it is sad though that stuff goes like that. And I said, "Hey, keep an eye on it, 'cause doesn't that stuff come down eventually?"
It'll settle back down a little bit. But not much. Like, that will be the new norm for it.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, you know, Carrie Fisher autographs and things like that, they shot up after she died, and they really, I mean, they leveled off a little bit, but they haven't really come back.
They don't come back down to that.
Come back down. And eventually they'll just continue to climb because there's no more entering the marketplace.
That's true, too, yeah.
There's no more signings happening. So, they will continue to climb slowly over time because even though there's no more coming in, the number of these autographs out in the market are huge because they did show after show after show and signed for hundreds or thousands of people every
right.
weekend. So it's not like a shortage of them, but
yeah,
but it is finite to some degree.
Yep. All right, let's get into back issue bonus.
All right, so it looks like we're prepping for Future State, which happens next month for DC, because we're going to look at Batman 313. This is the first appearance of Tim Fox, who again is rumored to be the next Batman in Future State. This book is selling for between $100 and $130 and up. I mean, it's really on fire right now. So maybe not the best time to buy, but probably a good time to sell if you have one.
Right.
And then right on the heels of that is Batwing number 19. This is the first Luke Fox. We've talked about this book a few times already, yeah. but this is sitting at right around $150 now. And graded, you know,
this
high grade copies are selling for around $450.
That's crazy.
So, again, for something that is probably only going to last for 2 months, these seem pretty inflated prices, but
do you think people are looking at the term future state like this could be the future, like it's a test market?
Well, it could be, and I mean, some of these, you know, like again, Luke Fox, it's not like he doesn't exist in the comics already,
right?
And Tim, and you know, he's already Batwing, so I mean, it's not like these things
right
are you know, it's not like they're going to go away, but the pricing seems high for characters that don't have mass market appeal, really.
Right.
You know. So we'll have to see. We'll talk about Future State a little bit more in a few minutes.
You think?
Yeah, well, even more than that too, though.
Oh wow!
All right. Marvel Action Chillers issue number 2. There's a 1 in 10 variant here that features Elsa Bloodstone. I guess that's enough. I don't know why, but you know, this is selling for about $30. So,
I was hoping you had more information.
Yeah, no, I don't. Just, I guess okay. This next one too. Like, I don't know why this one's so crazy, but Dr. Aphra, number 6, which is pretty recent. I think they're only on issue 6 or 7. The 1 in 25 variant for this has skyrocketed. I mean, it was kind of hot on release day, but it's now selling for between $150 and $175. So that's nuts for a book that's not that popular. You know, which could have something to do with the availability of the 1 in 25 for this. But yeah, that's a crazy price for a pretty new book. We talked about this last week, but prices continue to go up on this, and this is the DC Future State promo book. Again, this came out last week. It's free from most stores, and you know, again, most stores probably still have. I've got tons of these still. Like, they didn't send any short amount of these things
right out.
There's a lot of them. So, but again, this is the first appearance of Yara Flor, who is Wonder Woman and is set to have her show on the CW. So people are paying $2 to $5 for the freebie, and the 1 per store local comic book shop day variant is now up to about $50, and I think it was $35 to $40 last week. So continuing the climb up there. We talked about this book last week too, Champions Number 1, the second printing. This has already jumped to almost $30. Probably just because it's a lower print run with Ms. Marvel on the cover. This is really the only reason for it. But yeah, $25 to $30. You might still be able to find one of these on the rack if you look hard enough. The Sentry, issue number 1. So looks like the Sentry is going to play some kind of part in the King in Black storyline. And so this is his first appearance. It's selling for between $100 and $150 right
Whoa.
Now. So. Yeah, that's up there pretty high, too, for a book that wasn't really worth all that much. too long ago.
From nothing to $100 is a lot.
Exactly. From rags to riches.
Yep.
And then last but not least, the Toxic Avenger number one. This was from Marvel in 1991. This is an old trauma movie.
Man, remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Oh.
But it was announced yesterday that Peter Dinklage is on board for a Toxic Avenger reboot. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So, again, you know what happens here. This book was $2 2 days ago. Now it's $30+. So,
was that movie in the 90s or was that the 80s movie?
Oh, it had to be the 80s.
I think
I think
too.
It was the 80s. I think this came out when I was still living up there.
Yeah.
Which I lived, I moved here in 90. The end of 1990, so
yeah,
this was something we watched, I think, before high school. This is a pretty, pretty old movie. Yeah,
yeah, we watched that in high school. That was I remember renting it.
Yeah,
hysterical.
Great, I love that movie.
It's yeah,
so bad, but I love it.
That's one we should watch. That's one
we probably should
see if that holds up.
I'm sure it does not. But
speaking of movies to watch, we got a request today from Tom Bellows DM'd me today on Twitter and asked if we'd watch Last of the Mohicans. He really enjoyed it recently.
The Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yes, that's what I was like. The Daniel Day-Lewis movie? And he's like, yeah, it was great. I was like, okay.
I've seen it, but not for a while.
I haven't seen that in a long time, yeah.
Yeah, I've only seen it once. So.
Didn't that win an Academy Award or something like that?
Probably.
I think
Daniel Day-Lewis wins everything he's ever in. So.
Yeah, I know. Everything he's ever in. It.
Yeah, well, I'll have to find it. I don't own it, but I'm
yeah.
sure it's out there somewhere on one of the 900
HBO
streaming
services.
Yeah, I've got a million
like
streaming
that.
Services.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we could find that.
Yeah, I'm sure it's out there. Yeah, well, I'm sure we could squeeze it in at some point.
We'd do a double show some night and put that out on a Monday. Look at that. We're getting requests, John.
I know. Look at that.
All right. That's it for
back issue bonus. Yep.
All right. We've got quite a bit here for FOC.
Yeah, but I'm going to streamline this just a bit.
Oh, boy. I see. So, I grabbed all the pictures I could.
Yeah. So FOC, we're going to start with DC Comics. New series. I'm going to save you all some time. This is just about the Future State. Future State launches in January. The first wave of 14 titles is on FOC this week.
Right.
Again, most of these are two-issue miniseries, except for the books like Batman and Detective that already come out twice a month. They're going to get four issues, but it's still only going to happen in 2 months, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's a whole mess of these, but there are a couple of really nice variant covers with these. Most of them I showed the images of the A cover, but there's a variant cover for the Future State Kara Zor-El Superwoman.
That's awesome.
By Alex Garner. This is awesome. Like, this is one of the better covers I've seen in a long time. I really, really liked it.
Yes.
And I liked the fact that the image that I pulled didn't have any of the trade dress on it, so it's just a really nice, a nice image. But also the Superman Wonder Woman number one, Jeremy Roberts variant, that's also pretty nice.
Yep.
And then the Wonder Woman number one, Jenny Frisson, also pretty nice. But I think that Superwoman really takes the cake. It's pretty awesome.
The Superwoman's the best one, I think. Yeah. The Superman Wonder Woman is the second best one. I think the Wonder Woman Jenny Frisson's quite a drop from those two.
It is. It is.
It's
not,
nice,
not,
but it's
it,
not
right,
as dramatic.
It's not as,
it's
nice.
Not as nice.
Yeah, not as nice as those two. All right. Yeah, and like I said, so that's it from DC. There's a bunch of Future State. You know, if like I said, if you want to get on board with some of that, pretty much any title that you read now has a Future State version. So,
right.
Like, for instance, this is Batman, Detective, Flash, Green Lantern, Harley. Like, if you buy those books now, you'll be able to get the Future State version of it. So, just take a look through that and order what looks good to you.
Yep.
From Marvel, we have a couple variant covers. We have Amazing Spider-Man 56. This has a Mark Bagley, Marvel versus Alien cover. And then this Iron Man number 5 is probably my second favorite cover of the week.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Jung Jin Yoon, Marvel vs. Alien cover. I really like that one as well. Like the color in it. It's just a really nicely done. So
I kind of like to see that battle.
Yeah, no kidding.
Iron Man versus the alien?
Well, we probably will now that Marvel has the rights to Alien and Predator. I'm sure we'll start to see them popping up in the...
Right.
This is just a series of covers, but right. I'm sure we'll start to see them popping up in continuity stories before you know it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine the alien will be a big battle that somebody has to have pretty soon.
Yeah, a bunch of them attacking or something.
It'll probably be Conan, right? Like that's, that's the one that makes the most sense. All right. So from Marvel, we have a few new series. We have the Eternals number one. There's a whole page worth of variant covers for this. I don't even know how, like 30, 35 covers, I think, for this book.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. I don't know that many people. I don't even know 35 people that want to read this book, but there's a cover for everybody. Yep. There's a cover for everybody.
Oprah book.
Yeah, there's a ton of covers for this. Actually, it looks pretty decent. I've seen a trailer for the book. It looks interesting.
Yeah?
I don't know anything really about these characters. The Eternals haven't been relevant in 30 years, but you know, obviously that's the next big movie that's coming from the MCU. So I imagine the timing of this release was supposed to be a lot closer to the release of the movie, but... at this point,
we're going to
get the book. Yeah, we're going to get the book about a year ahead of the movie now. So,
great. I'll have time to read it and then forget it and not know
exactly
what I read when I see the movie. So, nothing spoiled there.
Nope. All right. We have like three King in Black spinoff series that are on FOC this week. Gwenom versus Carnage. This is a 3-issue mini. Planet of the Symbiotes is also a 3-issue mini. And then the Return of the Valkyries is going to be 4 issues. There's multiple covers for each one of those. And then last but not least, we have Star Wars The High Republic, number one, with multiple covers. This is an ongoing series, as far as I can tell. And I'm actually pretty excited for this, because this is a big multimedia story that's taking place through the comics. But there's also going to be a novel and probably some... televised media too at some point. And this is like the future of the Star Wars, the next big story that takes place, I don't know, I think like 1,000 years after the Skywalker saga. So really looking forward to that. Looks pretty interesting.
I'm all in for anything Star Wars.
Well,
we'll get
me too.
To more of that later too.
Me too, but I am very excited for this. I've already pre-ordered the novel on Amazon. I think it comes out in February, so I'm really looking forward to reading that. And then finally, from Boom Comics, we have The Last Witch, number one, and there's 2 covers for that.
Cool.
And that is it for FOC. So it looked a lot longer on paper, but I...
Well, they're all there in the notes, in the show notes, so you'll see everything that's there. All the Future State, Batman, Dark Detective, Flash, Green Lantern, Harley Quinn, Justice League.
14 titles.
Kara Zor-El. That Kara Zor-El Superwoman, the second cover that we have, not as good.
Yeah.
Not as good.
Oh, no, which is the main cover.
The main cover,
It's nowhere near as good.
Yeah, no, nowhere near as good. But Robin Eternal, that looks pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
That looks pretty cool. But all right. That'll do it for that. You ready to get into checkout?
I am, yes.
What did you check out this week, John?
Well, I am imagining we both read the same 2 books today, but the first book is one I've already talked about.
You have a great imagination, John.
I know. Well, and plus you alluded to it already earlier in the show.
Well, yeah, I also read an additional couple, an additional one that's going to be in here. But yeah, I read this, so...
Yeah, so Erratic number one is from AWA, was written and drawn by Kerry Andrews. I've talked about this book a few times. It's a 15-year-old kid. He's got incredible superpowers that he gets to use for 10 minutes a day. So that, you find out that basically in the first page of the show, of the book.
Yeah.
And then it really doesn't come into play again until the last 2 pages of the book.
Yeah.
So, you know, really everything in between is just the story of, you know, he's a kind of an outcast kid that's moved to a new school. He's got an older brother who's a jock, and he fits right in the first day. Obviously, he doesn't. But, you know, we kind of get to see him going through his first day of school and all the, you know, I don't know if you ever really experienced moving and going to a new school as a kid, but I did a couple of times.
Yeah,
and
you did that, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's really scary, you know, to...
The closest I had is I could relate to this was going into the high school.
Right.
From junior high. And that was a big deal to me.
Everybody you went to junior high with was going with you. You know what I mean?
That's not necessarily a good thing.
Well, no, it's not. But, they were all going with you, but you were probably getting people from another junior high. You know, they were all merging into the one high school or something.
Well, we didn't. Our town wasn't big. We weren't that
big.
Yeah,
we only ever had one.
Yeah, we only had the one.
But yeah, you know, it's really scary, like I said, going into a new school and being the new kid. And, you know, he meets, you know, obviously he kind of falls in love with the cool girl, but, you know,
who doesn't?
the most popular girl and, you know, all this stuff. Like it's just really good, but like there's this, I didn't catch this so much the first time I read it, but I really keyed in on it when I read it again today. There's a lot of undertones of things that are going on, like, something happened that's not quite right. Like,
right.
There was like a some kind of big event, and they said something like after the die-off, and like the teachers are talking about burning books, and like it's not quite normal, and you don't really know what the backstory of anything is because, you know, they haven't really set it up, and it's kind of subtle, but it's there, you know, and,
There's a lot of
there's
nuance
a lot of stuff,
to this book.
Right, that I think that's going to be going on. Even, like, there's something that happens with one of the teachers. Like, people are developing abilities that they don't really know they have, or we don't really know where they're coming from. So I think there's a lot that's going to happen in this book, even more so than just the kid with the 10 minutes of superpowers, which is already a cool story. Like, if that was the only story, that would still be good.
Right.
But I think there's going to be more to this. And like I said, I don't know, you might have picked up. You tended to pay a little bit more attention than I do. Like a lot of times I just go through these.
Right.
But I didn't pick up on a lot of this until the second read through. So, I'm even more looking forward to the rest of this than I was a week ago, you know, when I already knew I liked it, but I kind of like it even more now. So,
when's the second book come out?
Oh, I'm sure a month, right? I would imagine.
Oh,
weeks,
probably not till next year, like January.
Yeah, I would think January. Yeah,
John, this is up there for book of the year.
Yeah, it's really
it's
good.
That good. It gets like you said, all those things that you were talking about, the nuances of the teachers and the stuff that goes on in school, which kind of nails what it's like, you know, to be a kid too.
Right.
Really nailed all of those feelings that whether it's, like you said, like you've experienced moving and going to a new school, but I still could relate because like going into the next grade, going into the next big school and the unknown of the older kids that are there that you've never been around before, you know, especially going into high school, you're going in to be with adults now. All of that portrayed really, really well in the writing. But one thing I was surprised you didn't mention was the artwork.
Yeah, I liked it.
And I loved how when he's in his powers, it's like a completely different, like if you look at the cover, almost like very well drawn, right?
Right.
Very graphic, very superhero-ish with some nice shading and a little bit more detail. And then when you go to the normal story, you know what it reminds me of? The artwork is very reminiscent of if you're reading a DC book and they have a commercial in there where the DC characters are selling a Snickers bar.
Right. Oh, we'll get to that in a minute too. I had something funny with that.
Oh, okay. But you know what I mean? That artwork is a little bit different than the artwork.
Right. Well,
that,
you know what it reminded me of a lot was the Archie comics.
Yeah.
Like I felt like I was reading an Archie comic.
Right. It's a little bit more
loose,
rudimentary.
Yes, it's loose.
And but then it's like the first couple of pages, he's in his powers.
Right.
Right? So you get that nice graphic. And then you turn the page. I really thought, I'm like, wait a minute, is this an ad? Because the art completely changes.
It changes.
But it's nice. It's like that's the story. But then later on in the story, he gets back into his powers and you go back into that artwork. I liked that delineation there with the art. That was really cool. Lots going on here. Stuff I'll talk to you about off air too that I noticed about the book, like you said, that's, you know, a little bit more. I don't want to get into it right now. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed this book a lot.
Yeah, I did too.
Another hit from AWA.
Yeah, like I said, they just so far really haven't missed. Everything they've done has been pretty solid.
Has either been good or great.
Right. <It's> like, right.
That's pretty much it. It's like, and the good ones were like, oh, that's too bad. It's not great.
Exactly. Like, still better than 80% of the direct that's out there, but
right.
we're like, ah.
Oh, well.
It's only okay.
All right, before we get to your second one, I read Knock 'Em Dead, number one, from Aftershock Comics. Writer Elliot Rahal, with art by Mattia Monaco. Have you seen this one?
No, I didn't, actually.
It's pretty good. If you get a chance to pick it up, grab it. It's stories about a struggling kid, really. He's 21, I think, 21 years old. And he wants to be a comedian. And most of this book is his struggles in trying to be a comedian. And man, do you feel his pain? And it's like,
yeah.
And he's living with his sister. Their parents have passed, so they're kind of alone. But the story kind of takes on a dark twist at the end, at the very end. And it's really, really good. It's like it really grabs you with that whole comedian thing where he's trying to be comedian and failing, and then he gets a glimmer of hope, and then something happens that I don't want to say, but I definitely recommend picking it up. Check it out. It's
cool.
It's another one of those, you know, indie books that you're like, I didn't even think you could make a story about this. That's
right.
The best way I could describe it. And how did somebody think that this is a story? Like, I don't know. This may be some substance involved. I don't know. But
maybe.
But it's really good. I really, really enjoyed it. So definitely check that one out.
Cool.
All right. You ready to get to the one we've been waiting for?
Yeah. So from DC Comics, Batman Catwoman, issue number one. This is a 12-issue mini. Obviously, it was written by Tom King and had art by Clay Mann. So yeah, you know, we've been kind of waiting for this for a while. Obviously, this is the end of the story that Tom King was telling in his run on Batman before he was, I guess, unceremoniously discharged from that duty. So this is obviously, you know, Batman and Catwoman. This was typical Tom King for me. Like, this was all over the place. And
no
I'm
going to
be honest with you, I didn't love it. The art is fantastic. Clayman is great. You know, he was, you know, a big part of the run on, you know, on the Batman title. And, you know, obviously these guys worked together on, I think it was Mr. Miracle. No, I'm sorry, that was Mitch Gerads. But they've worked together a lot. You know, this book takes – I kind of felt like I was watching The Witcher again. Like, I didn't really know what – where I was in this story, and what I kind of alluded to a minute ago, which I thought was kind of funny, you brought it up. When I read this originally, I had the digital, you know, the preview from DC that they sent us, and those generally don't have the ads in. It's just the story.
Right.
All the extra pages aren't there. So when this hit the stands today, there's a 2-page ad of Batman selling, I guess it was Snickers bars or something. I don't even remember what it was. I just went right into that. Like, I read the whole page and I was like, what happened here? Like, but I was so used to already jumping around timelines that I thought I was just in a different timeline with Batman.
Right.
And I was like, oh, wait, this is an ad for like a candy bar or something. And then I moved on to the next page. So I thought that was kind of funny that I just went right into the next page. I thought it was part of the book.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, there's the timeline kind of at the end of this book where it's, you know, at the end, and Batman and Selina have had a long marriage together, and you know, we're kind of at the end of this, but you know, it bounces back to kind of like their courtship and the beginning of their relationship. I guess the thread that ties all of this together, though, is the Joker. Like, at every right. stage of their relationship, the Joker's there. And this is sort of centered around Andrea Beaumont, who is the Phantasm, which, you know, we knew was going to be in this book, but obviously this is a character that's making a jump from the animated movie Mask of the Phantasm.
Right.
It was not a character that was created for the comics. And I think outside of, like, those animated adaptations of from that, I don't think this character has ever really appeared in continuity.
I was going to ask you, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think she has. So, yeah, like, we're in the timeline here where Bruce and Selina have Helena is their daughter. But, you know, that's usually kind of like one of the multiverse stories. That's not something that's happened in the main continuity of Batman.
Right.
So he's kind of playing, I don't want to say he's playing loose with it, but it's just a stage that we had never seen Batman reach, until this book. So yeah, I don't know how you felt about it. Like I said, I obviously I'm going to read it, and I'm going to read all 12 of them.
Yep.
But I was not blown away by this. Like, I just found it too convoluted and too much jumping around. And I don't usually like that. You know, it's not right. the way I like my storytelling. So,
so it's funny you say that. You sound a lot like Dr. Joe, who's got a new gig. He's still doing his podcast.
Is he like The Rock? He's The Rock of our our group, right?
Well, he's out of work for COVID. Mm. You know, he's a chiropractor.
Right. He's got a lot of time on his hands.
Yeah, so he's making great use of it, and he's a writer, John. He's writing for Geeks Worldwide, which is where his podcast partner has been writing for years.
Okay.
That, if you remember, that's the one he forgot when he was on our show. He was like, writes for, and I was like, Geeks Worldwide? And he's like, that's it. Well, now he's a writer, so hopefully he remembers who he's writing for.
I hope so.
Yeah. But yeah, so I read his, and you can check him out and go to geeksworldwide.com, and you'll be able to you'll find Dr. Joe right there writing. Right. I think he's written 2 or 3 reviews already, but one of the ones he reviewed was this book, and he reviewed it. I think it came out yesterday, as a matter of fact. I'm not sure. I can't remember if it was yesterday or today. But anyways, his feelings were very similar to yours, and he, you know, he's going to read the whole thing. He's very, you know, he's looking forward to the next book, but he wasn't blown away. I, on the other hand, I can't say I'm blown away, but I really enjoyed it. Because I did like, there were times there is confusion. You're reading it going, okay, what the heck just happened here?
Right.
Because it bounces, like you said, back and forth between the, you know, you go the full gamut of Batman's lifespan.
Right.
From, you know, to the end.
Start to finish.
Literally, right?
Yeah.
And I kind of enjoyed that because, like you said, I don't think he's really playing fast and loose. I think he's just playing, he's giving us a version that we've really never seen before.
Right.
And you're right. It is textbook Tom King writing, which I do enjoy. I do enjoy the, you know, Bat-Cat story. I enjoy his writing. I enjoy the feeling and the emotion that he puts into it, into the characters. But I think it's also, I mean, how much of a contrast is that from Tynan's?
Right.
It's what very we different. Just, you know what I mean? You come off of Batman, which was great this week, by the way. But you compare the two and you kind of see why they went in this direction. Get Tynan in there to do his thing. And you can also have King do his thing with this book. And everybody's happy. If you don't like it, you don't read it. But I am enjoying it. I enjoyed the different stories. I enjoyed the roller coaster ride because it makes you think, and that's fun to do with a Batman book. I look at it this way: Batman's the greatest detective, so we got to put a puzzle together. All right. And so, I really enjoyed it.
The thing that bugs me about this whole story, though, is that knowing that kind of the powers that be at DC didn't want Tom King really to finish this story in the main run of Batman lends me to think that, like, this isn't, like, canon, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't necessarily what they envision happening right. to Batman. It feels like an Elseworlds type of story to me, right. and those just always have less credence, and I have less interest in them if I don't think it's part of the narrative,
right.
you know? And that's, there's no guarantee that it's not, but, like, Tynan has taken Batman in a different direction. Like, he and Selina are not together right now in the books, and
right.
You know, so I almost feel like this is a story that just doesn't matter, and I want it to matter. You know what I mean? I think I'd be a little bit more invested if it was happening in the main run. Not that things that happen in the main run are always canon, because the next writer comes along and changes everything. But right. at least while you're reading it, you have the sense that this is the direction that DC wants to go in. Whereas with this book, I don't feel that way. So, I mean, that's just my hang up, you know, yeah. but.
And that's fine. That's the case with a lot of things. If it's not canon, you're like, you can't, you know, too long didn't read. You can't read everything. Right. So it's like, you've got to pick and choose. I actually like this, but I like the story. I liked King's run, but I'm the odd man out. You know, it's right. like, I think DC listened to the people. Listen to the readers, and people weren't really enthralled with that story, so they changed the direction and, you know, let King finish his story. But as much as I like Tom King, I think they made the right call. I mean,
sales are up, you know, it's reinvigorated yeah. the line.
Exactly.
Which they were starting to slump again. And again, it's all about sales for DC, right? That's really all they care about. So, yeah,
people,
I mean, I understand
Batman
why they
don't want a love story.
Right. I understand why they did what they did. But, yeah, it was. And like I said, you and I were different, because I enjoyed it too. You know, I really did like that story and the direction it was going. Not that I don't like where it is now, because, again, I think it's really good now too. So, yeah.
But it's nice to have the two different stories too, whether one's canon and one's not. It's fine. I mean, we're reading, there's a bunch of other books. Like, I read, did you read the new what, Justice League?
No. Well, I read, what are you talking about? I read that a few weeks ago. I didn't read it again today.
Yeah, that was
really
good.
I read it a few weeks ago.
Really good.
Yeah, see, I was a little on the fence. I'm a little on the fence with that one too.
I had a blast with it. Yeah. How long of a run is that?
It's 9 issues total, spread out over pretty much all their different titles. Okay. I think there's like a, you know,
the next one's Endless Winter or something.
It kind of bookends with a start and a finish, Endless Winter special. But the rest of them are like in the Flash. They're just going to pop up in the different books, but it's 9 parts altogether. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, it could be good. I didn't dislike it at all, but after the first issue, I wasn't, like I said, I'm a little on the fence with it, but I like Justice League, so I'm sure it'll be fine.
I love the
Flash.
Humor in it. Yeah, the Flash in that, trying to figure out, he's like, how do you balance this?
And yeah. Then,
like with Batman. All right, never mind.
Yeah, the Flash was really good in this book.
Yeah.
It was a
fun
portrayal.
Story, and that's what it I was. Liked about that. It was like, I mean, you've got your action and, you know, their wisecracking. It was just a fun story. Really enjoyed that. What else did you read today?
Not a lot. Like, I had a kind of a busy day today. I started reading Batman, but I had to put it down, so I actually didn't get to finish it. But I did read, and this is what I kind of alluded to earlier, I was going to get to, is I read 6 Future State number ones today.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, DC dropped 6 of them to us. Didn't
not
like
good.
Them. No,
really?
I didn't like any. I didn't like a single one of them, unfortunately. I hate to say that because, again,
do you know which one? Can you tell
as
us
a
which
retailer,
ones you read? Or?
Yeah, I'll tell you. As a retailer, I really need to sell these books, and I know that I am not doing my job
right.
doing
but
that.
But you're also not doing your job by telling everybody to buy it, and then it stinks.
But I thought they sucked, man. I'm sorry.
Really?
I didn't like them. Yeah, I read The Dark Detective, I read Harley Quinn. I read Robin Eternal.
And that one wasn't good, huh?
It was better than some, but I don't know. I didn't care for it. Okay. I read Superman Wonder Woman. I read Kara Zor-El, and then I read the Wonder Woman book.
So buy the covers and that's it?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially that Kara Zor-El. You can buy the cover. But I really didn't like any of them. Oh, and maybe man. It goes back to what I just said with Batman Catwoman that I don't have any investment in any of these books because they literally don't mean anything. They're just Elseworld stories that to me are stopping me from reading Batman for 2 months. I don't know. Like I said, that's only 6 out of about 20 different titles that are going to be out there. But I feel like these are the 6 that DC wanted us to read.
Exactly.
And if these are the ones they wanted us to read, I'm kind of afraid of the other 8 that are on FOC this week. I think the horrible. Dark Detective was probably the best of the bunch. And Superwoman, I think, was the worst of the bunch.
Oh, no.
Which is a shame because that's a character that I actually like. I like Supergirl quite a bit. I like Kara, but I don't know. I know I'm not doing a good job of marketing these books. Thankfully, most of my customers don't listen to the podcast, but I don't know. I honestly just couldn't like any of them. I don't even know that I'll read the second issues of any of them, except for maybe the Batman, the Dark Detective one. I might read the next one. I for sure won't read Supergirl, Superwoman, whatever.
Was the art bad or
the was art was terrible?
Oh no!
I think the art was terrible in all of them. Actually, like I didn't think the Dark Detective was the best out of the group that I read, and it did have pretty good artwork. But I didn't like the art in any of these books, and I just didn't. I don't know. I just didn't like them. I'm sure you'll check out a couple of them, and we'll talk about it. You know, because again, you're going to buy something for 2 months. So,
this kind of sales pitch.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Like I said, I know I'm not doing.
No, I know. I'm not I'll doing still a good buy job, probably but, Dark Detective. I'll check them out.
But yeah,
that's what's
going to
stink for didn't stores like them. Though. Is yeah. People aren't coming in and getting their pull. They're coming in and going,
Yeah.
No, they're going to look it and put it down. Especially if, like you said, if the art's not very good.
I don't know. I'll
probably grab a couple of Dark Detective and stuff. But
yeah, and I read those today specifically because they're on FOC, and so I really didn't read anything else that I kind of wanted to read. I wouldn't have even got to Daredevil today except you forced me to read it.
That's why
obviously I would have read it eventually, but I probably wouldn't have read it today.
Yeah.
Except that, you forced me to read it. So.
We'll get into that in Kryptonite. I've been keeping up with Black Widow.
Oh, yeah. Really, I haven't really read any of it. Yeah.
You really? Oh, I thought you read the first one.
Not this new run. I haven't read any of the new run.
I think 4 came out today. And,
yes, I think so.
It was good. I'm enjoying the story. It's nothing. It's no Daredevil story, but it is pretty cool. It's they've created a different world for her in this story that is new. She had a child, which is kind of difficult, but they did pull it off because she's not supposed to be able to have a child.
Speaking of Black Widow, I have more news.
Just break it.
Not breaking, but that I remembered. So breaking in my mind.
There you go.
I saw this the other day. I don't know if you saw this. Yelena Belova. I can't remember the name of the actress that's playing her in the Black Widow movie.
Yeah.
It looks like she's slated to appear in the Hawkeye series on Disney Plus as Yelena Belova. Yeah. So Florence Pugh, I think, is her name. There's a connection there because it looks like she's going to appear in that series. I don't know if it takes place. I guess it has to take place after the movie, since the movie is somewhat of a prequel. So
Right. Well, so, we've said that a lot of the Marvel stuff, other than obviously WandaVision.
Right.
That's the only one that isn't affected by Black Widow.
Right.
So all of these are being delayed until after Black Widow because... Yeah.
Which she has set, the rumor is that she takes over as Black Widow, you know, by the end of that movie, and she will be in the MCU going forward as Black Widow. And so this kind of just cements that a little bit.
Martin sent us a link a while ago on like the whole timeline and everything, and that the Black Widow we saw in some of the MCU movies wasn't actually her, it was an imposter. And they actually, it's a pretty cool story. Just Google that and you'll...
Oh, I'll just say, yeah, I didn't read any of that.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, yeah. It's a pretty cool storyline. They really... And you actually get to... They talk about her hair change. They talk about her personality change from movie to movie and how it's changed. It's all going to take place. You know, obviously, I think this is all span speculation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fan speculation.
But it's funny. It's nice grounded to see in reality. Right, what they come up with.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Obviously we're all looking forward to that, and right. Who knows if Wonder Woman does really well in on Christmas Day, maybe we'll get it a little sooner. Could jumpstart Disney Plus. Not that they need the help.
They don't need a jumpstart, but no. You know.
Yeah. So. All right, and yeah, like we already mentioned Daredevil, we'll get to that in Kryptonite, and anything else?
Well, one more book I actually read since last week. But I really enjoyed, this came out last week, was X-O Manowar number 2.
Yes, I read that too. Awesome.
Yeah, so obviously we both really liked number 1 7 months ago or so when it came out.
I was really proud of myself that I didn't have to read 1. I read 2. And
yeah,
after,
I remembered
the first couple pages, I remembered.
Yeah, I kind of remembered it. But yeah, I really liked it. You know, I thought it was really good. You know, again, a character that neither one of us had ever read before or knew anything about.
Right.
And yeah, I really like it. I think it's really good. And now that it's back, it looks like number 3 is, you know, will be out next month. So hopefully.
Oh, I was expecting for my birthday in July.
Yeah. No, I think we're back on, I think we're back on track with this. So,
back on track.
Anyway.
1 came out 7 months ago. We were never on track.
That's true. We got on track.
So far, this is the track.
Right.
It was really good. And that was, you know what I like about it? It's a very interesting historical storyline. There's some, you know, smart things thrown in there, which is always fun for me. I love to learn.
Yeah, and this is where I do my learning.
Exactly, with pictures.
Everything I know I learned from comics.
So. Exactly. Made puberty tough.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then the humor in it too.
Yeah, it's really good. It's kind of like a funnier Iron Man, even though Iron Man has its own humor built in, but
yes.
This is very reminiscent of Iron Man. But with a little bit more sense of humor. Well, with a suit that has its own personality as opposed to just being an AI, you know?
Right.
Which is really fun.
It feels like this story is trying to develop into an Iron Man type situation, though.
Yes.
You know what I mean? With the guy on the boat?
Yeah.
His
PR manager, who also pretty much was Tony Stark.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Glad we found that one.
Yeah, me too. Because I wouldn't have read that normally because
it
was definitely not on my radar. But this show kind of prompted me to read it.
Yeah, we were talking about it. Well, yeah, I think
I needed
the
something
Nerdy
new that
too.
Week to read. So
yeah, because they talk about it. In,
oh, that's right.
We have
and
Valiant
somebody
Central
was right
here.
Right.
And Martin's talking about it. We were doing a lot of Bloodshot talk when the movie was coming out. I think that was all around the time, and we were just turning ourselves on to that different book.
Yeah, because we were excited about Bloodshot, maybe getting the Valiant verse going.
Right.
And then COVID. So we'll see.
COVID verse.
Yeah. Because, you know, again, an X-O Manowar movie would be something really, really fun to watch. And the technology's there. We've had Iron Man, so we can do X-O Manowar.
Oh, you could do anything, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that would be fun.
Yeah.
All right. You ready to get into some real world?
Sure.
All righty, John. What did you watch this week?
Not a lot again this week, honestly. We watched the first three episodes of The Flight Attendant. It dropped on HBO Max.
Yeah.
We talked about it last week. Yeah. I really liked it.
It's really, really good. It's deep, yeah. though. It's very
tense.
It is
deep. Yeah.
It's deep. It's tense. It's like, you know, Kaley Cuoco, you'd expect like a little bit, you know her from, obviously, you know her from Harley Quinn and Big Bang.
Big Bang,
so you're
right.
You're expecting humor, and she is funny.
And this is listed as a dark comedy, but it's, yeah. I don't,
waiting
it's not,
for the comedy.
Yeah, me too. It's dark.
It's dark. There is some comedy, though. There's some levity, the way she reacts, some sarcasm and stuff. So you do chuckle here and there. But most of the time, you're like clenching your fist because you're like, no, yeah. don't do that. Oh.
Well, what struck me, honestly, is how good of an actress she really is. Because, yeah. again, I only know her from Big Bang and Harley Quinn, which is, you know, not that voice acting isn't acting, because it definitely is, but so much comes through in your, you know, in your facial expressions and things like that when you're, you know,
right.
live act, you know, when it's live action. And she's a better actress than I thought she was, because there's a whole range of emotions that she goes through in these yeah. first couple of episodes. And, yeah, it's really, really good. I
think she's a producer on this too. Like
she is. Yeah, she has.
She's a smart woman. She's doing. I think she's taking her like Big Bang money, and developing all of these different entities. And like, I think she's one of the catalysts behind Harley Quinn. I think she is.
She has her deal. She has a production deal yeah. with HBO Max. Yeah. So she was going to do multiple projects, but yeah, she found this book and she spearheaded this whole project. I follow her on different social media platforms, and she's talked yeah. about kind of the journey to making this show. And yeah, it was all her. No, I mean, she didn't do it all herself, obviously, but she right. bought the rights to the book, and she brought this story to, you know, HBO Max. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of this. They dropped three, like, I mentioned last week, and then it's weekly. So
right.
The next episode drops on Thursday. And I don't know
is
how
it
many
Thursdays?
It's Thursdays, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's probably eight. I'm imagining it's eight episodes. Could be ten, but yeah, looking forward to that. That was good. And then we watched The Mandalorian. We'll talk about that.
Oh, we will?
At length later on.
At length, listen to this.
And in our Mandalorian
we're an
minute.
Hour and a half in, and you're like, yeah. at length. Okay.
Well, it won't be as long as it is that, but
no,
I've got a few things to say. And then we watched, we started watching Queen's Gambit, which is on Netflix. And we've only got one left, so we're actually almost done with it. It's seven.
How many
episodes
is it?
Seven.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. You fly through shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jen tried, she's trying to get me, or she, not trying to, I'm dying to watch it.
Yeah.
I like chess, I like shows.
Yeah.
She's not interested in chess. So when she
either,
brought
I mean,
up,
you don't have to
I was
though.
Like,
yeah.
let's do it, let's yeah. watch it. And I don't know why she didn't put it on, but.
There's a lot of chess that takes yeah. place. But you don't have to, like, Lydia doesn't play chess. She doesn't know how to play chess. She's not really interested in it. But
right.
she still really likes the show.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's a lot more to it than that. But there is a lot of chess talk. But you,
oh, yeah.
Which you wouldn't think would be that interest. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't seem like that's something you want to watch seven episodes about, you know, a girl
right.
playing chess. But it's really, really compelling. She's a freaking basket case, but
yeah.
obviously a genius, you know, because it's amazing the people that play chess and just the stuff they memorize and the games and
oh.
the way they play these games. And like, she plays a game and then a year later she can set up the board state from memory, like just the
right.
things they remember. And and you don't know how much of this is true, but I imagine that the true grandmasters are are able to do these things.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday. Never mind, like, the bored state of a chess game I played a year ago when I've played 10,000 games since then. You know what I mean?
Right.
I can't remember the comic that I read last week because I've read 20 since then. You know what I mean? So it's really fascinating.
Yeah. I played chess. Yeah. I played chess at work. So I used to work at Seal Test and I worked in the freezer, and you got a break every hour because it was 20 below in the freezer stacking ice cream. So we broke on the half hour. I get a half hour break every hour, and you come out and you'd play chess. And the guy that taught me was into it like these people. He went to tournaments. He was ranked. As a matter of fact, I was telling Jen, I think it's in the trailer, they show her checking in, and they're like, you have to be ranked. It's like 1,800 and below is beginners.
Right.
So, like, if you're an 1,800 ranking, you're a beginner. And the guy that was teaching me, he was ranked like 1,450.
Right.
And he was awesome.
Yeah.
So can you imagine these people like at 1,800 that's still beginners? But he was 1,450, and he would teach me how to play. I'd never played before, but I played for a couple of years this way, every single night, multiple games, an hour, just bang, bang, bang. And the mindset that you get from this, it translates to the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I'd be driving down the highway and I'm thinking car moves ahead. Like, and I'd be like, whoa, you got to get chess out of your head. Because you're like, you're thinking, if I move here, that guy's going to move here. And then you're going to, and it's just all consuming once you get into it. And that's what these people, it is. It's an insane world.
I've played off and on through the years. I mean, I know how to play. I know the rules of all the pieces and all that stuff. But like, I'm by no means good at it, you know? I mean, I've played computer chess and probably never beat the computer, you know?
Right.
But it's amazing. And, you know, they've got they know all the squares, and they're just like, you know, bishop to rook four and blah, you know, all this stuff. And it's like, it's just amazing.
Playing it in your mind, that's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah, because she, you know, this might have been in the trailer, so I don't think I'm spoiling anything, but, like, she'll lay in bed at night and play the games on the ceiling. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Just watching it. And it's really cool to watch that happen on screen. So, yeah, it's a really great show, not to just devolve into a chess talk, but I think you'll really like it.
Oh, I know I will.
It's really
good.
I'm
just hoping she does and, so that you know, I it's, can enjoy it.
You know, the main character, Anya Taylor-Joy, she obviously was just in New Mutants. She played Magic.
Mm-hmm.
She's a really good actress. That's really good. Like I said, so we watched that, and I'm trying to think. It feels like we watched something else this week.
Did you see, I saw this one. Hoping you'd seen this already. The Lego Star Wars Holiday Special.
Oh, yeah. I brought it up with you last week.
You did see it.
Maybe we talked about it off the show. But, yeah, I watched it. Last week,
you weren't crazy about it, right?
I mean, it was okay.
It was
I didn't
okay.
love it,
yeah.
but
it
had fun. Like, it was playing fun with itself. I really liked McClunky. It came up in there. I thought that was funny. It was okay. Like, it's Lego. So, I mean, I wasn't blown away by it.
It wasn't, I thought it was going to be, Daisy Ridley.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It wasn't. It sounded pretty good.
It did.
I think it was Billy Dee Williams and Anthony Daniels were the only.
Yeah, they
real
were the.
People.
Yes, everybody else was
stand-ins.
Yeah, stand-ins basically, because you had Oscar Isaac, you had Finn,
right.
You know, you had all the characters, but none of them were played by actors.
Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, but yeah, it was really cool. I mean, like, Rey's time traveling, so she's able to kind of interact with every. Phase of the Star Wars story, the Skywalker
Master.
Saga. Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty good.
It was
good,
fun. But, it's for kids, but it was
but
fun.
But yeah, it wasn't, like, I don't know when I'll watch it again.
What is it, Life Day? Is that what
Life
they
Day,
it?
Yeah,
Life
they're,
Day,
yeah. They're celebrating Life Day, which is obviously, that's a throwback to the original
holiday
special. So.
Yeah, and they had all of Chewie's family was there.
Yeah.
Which was pretty funny.
I finished Blood of Zeus. Which I only had like three left anyways. But that was pretty good. That was pretty good. It set itself up for a second season, so I don't know if we'll get one or not, but it definitely laid the groundwork for a season two. If you like anime type art and Greek mythology, then this is right up your alley. It was pretty good. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to starting. I'm going to start the Animaniacs.
Hulu.
So that's my next little binge. But
cool.
Yeah.
Joe has one for you. I thought you might have seen this. He mentioned it to me the other day listening to the podcast. He's like, I got one for John that he should check out. Is For All Mankind?
Oh, yeah. I've seen it.
You've seen that. I thought you might have.
Yeah, we watched that.
He really enjoyed that. I haven't seen it yet. He said it was really good.
Yeah, that was one of the first wave of Apple shows when the Apple TV first launched. So we were watching that weekly.
Yeah, they launched like six shows on launch date, and you were done within the week of all of them.
Well, no, because they were all weekly. So we just watched each one of them every Friday. So there was like, I think it was three. We watched The Morning Show, C, and For All Mankind, I think. So on Friday nights, we watched those three shows. But yeah, it's really cool. It's a little bit of a reimagining of the space, you know, Russia beats us to the moon. And so this is, you know, the U.S. frantically trying to catch up in the space race. And, you know, so it's fairly historically accurate in the sense that all the, you know, it's all the astronauts that we know, but they're,
we lost the race.
Right. We lost the race. So they're playing catch up. It's written by same guy that did Battlestar Galactica. And yeah, I really like it. I thought it was pretty good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. All we did for shows is obviously we did Flight Attendant. And we've done a couple more of The Undoing. We're still not done with that. Did you finish that?
Oh, yeah, I finished that. Yeah, because we only had one. You know,
what did you think of the end of it?
I liked it. Yeah, I liked it. Yeah. It was pretty good.
All right. Good news. Yeah, it was pretty good. Looking forward to that one. That's a really good show.
Crazy. It is. And it's a sad. That one's tense. Yeah, it's
very tense.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, I think it's a little more, at least so far, with the flight attendant. Flight attendant's a little bit more relaxed because you have that flight attendant, you're in her memory at times.
Right.
You know, for a little bit of humor, but The Undoing is very, very tense. But other than that, on my own, in my theater, I watched, you know, it's the holiday season, John. So I did a little bit of First Blood.
Yeah.
You know, another holiday movie.
Christmas classic.
Christmas classic.
John Rambo, Frosty, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I said Lego Star Wars Holiday Special. And for my home theater podcast, I did Batman Returns.
Okay.
And I thought that would be a fun one for us to talk about. Great movie. That's one you and I should revisit because that one was a lot of fun. That one, it holds up.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while. I've seen it multiple times, but I haven't seen it in quite a while.
It holds up. If you don't own that in 4K.
I don't. I don't own it. I don't own Batman 89 either. Yeah, I need to get that whole trilogy. Actually, I don't have any of the Batman movies in 4K. I don't have the Nolan trilogy either. So.
Ooh. I would get, in my opinion, I would get Batman Returns right away.
Yeah.
Actually, listen to my podcast on Friday and you'll be like, okay, I'll go get it. You'll understand why. It's really good. It's a really good 4K transfer. So, but as far as comic book goes, it was a lot of fun too. I mean, Michael Keaton, for all the flack we gave him back in the 80s before he became Batman.
Oh, yeah.
People forget. It's like now they're like, he was great. But back then we were like, huh? Mr. Mom?
Yeah, it was a scandal.
As scandalous as it could be without the internet,
well,
and social media.
Yeah, we read about it in a newspaper and we were outraged.
exactly.
To ourselves because
we
couldn't get online and type anything out. Yeah, we couldn't keyboard warrior that stuff, so we just had to be silently mad.
We couldn't publicly shame somebody out of a job.
Yeah.
So, we just had to tell each other between classes. What'd you think? Yeah.
Horrible. See, Mr. Mom was going to play Batman.
Yeah, he's too short. They'll give him heels.
Yeah.
So. All right. Is that it? That's all I've got.
We have
Mandalorian Minute?
Yeah, we have our Mando Minute to get to.
All right. I know you have your list of grievances, but spoiler free, What did you think of Chapter 13?
Oh, I loved
it. The Jedi. Yeah, it's called The Jedi, right?
It's called The Jedi. Yeah, I loved the episode.
And you did say that, and I put that in the tweet. You said, I love this. I have some grievances.
I have some all kidding aside.
I got to get the grievances steel pole out of the crawl space?
Grievances in, like, air quotes. It's just hard to, translate that through a text. These are all things that we'll talk about in Kryptonite Key Club. But but there's a few things. But, yeah, this is supposed to be spoiler-free. But, I mean, unless you're living under a rock, you know Ahsoka Tano makes her debut in this episode. That's not a spoiler to anybody.
The Jedi.
My grandmother knows that, So, yeah, obviously this is our first live-action appearance of Ahsoka Tano, played by Rosario. And she's fantastic. She does. Now, I really thought, spoiler free. Well, I guess I won't even say this. I'll wait till the end because if you haven't watched it, I don't even want to say this. So I'll wait till after. I don't know what else to say about it. It was great. She was great.
Great action.
Yes.
Great opening.
Great opening. Great length.
Great story.
Great length. Yeah. It was like 47 minutes long.
47 minutes, yep.
So that's a traditional length. Show. So that was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, really nice, some callbacks in there. Some lines were reproduced very nicely.
Yep.
It was just a lot of fun. And like all of these movies, I mean, Filoni he wrote this one.
Yes.
So, but what they're doing with Mandalorian it's just so much fun. It's so good. And I think it's paced really well. I know people have an issue with how it goes down a little bit, like episode 2 or something, but
right.
I love the pace and it makes you just want more, not just more Mandalorian, but it makes you want more Star Wars stories because there's little nuggets inside each episode that go, I could go on that tangent right there.
Right.
It's just so much fun.
Right. Well, and there's things that have already been set up that we've seen that we're probably not going to follow up on this season in The Mandalorian. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Not to get into any of the Ahsoka stuff. We'll do that later. But at this point, if you haven't seen Bo-Katan, you just don't care. So it doesn't matter if I spoil it. But like, there's a whole storyline there that we're probably not going to see followed up on.
Right.
This year on The Mandalorian. There's some things that happen in this episode with Ahsoka that we probably won't see her again this year. I really don't think we see her again. But there's storylines that they set up that have to be followed up on. So we're going to see them somewhere.
Right.
Whether it's season 3 of The Mandalorian or if it's in a different spinoff show. But they didn't set these stories up just to leave them dangling. Like, they're definitely going to follow up on them. I just don't know where and when they're going to follow up on them. Because the trajectory of where Mando's story is going and knowing there's only 3 episodes left, I just don't think we don't go backwards again to revisit these stories. So that's exciting because we know we're going to get them and it just makes me want them more, And like I said, where they take place because they may not happen in The Mandalorian. They may be. Maybe Ahsoka's getting her own show. Maybe there's going to be a Rebel show. Who knows? But they're going to finish these stories someplace. So.
You know what this is reminiscent of? And this is going to be a fun one if you think back. It reminds me of Greg Berlanti and the Arrowverse and how they started that. And do you remember how, Arrow started out and then they brought in Barry Allen?
Right.
And if you watch those early Arrow episodes, Cisco was in one. And they were like little nuggets of characters that you were like, that's a character. You knew these characters. And obviously Barry Allen shows up and you're like, they're going to have a Flash and they're going to have the. And then other characters were coming in and they all, Legends of Tomorrow spun off of that.
Right.
And it's like, so you've got that. The tree of life here and how this is going to, how things are going to branch off from it. And I think this is even more so. I mean, because there's just so many tangents that we just, like I said, you want to go on these.
Right.
And they're doing such a great job weaving this in and out and making you want more stuff that you didn't even know you wanted.
Yeah.
Lots of fun.
Yeah, it's great. The future of Star Wars, I think, definitely exists on Disney Plus. You know,
yes.
I mean, we're going to get movies, and I'm sure they'll be great. Some people will like them, some people won't, just like everything else. But to me, these stories are going to, you know, the really interesting stories are going to take place on Disney Plus. You know, they're setting all these
right.
things up from multiple different shows and storylines. Whether, you know, maybe Ahsoka's story gets told in the Obi-Wan show, you know, who knows? But they're going to happen in other places, which just means there's more things that we're going to get, which is awesome. You know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's,
the biggest downer is just having to wait for them. You know?
Well, that's why I thought it'd be fun. Like, think back to the Arrowverse, because we see the completion of Arrow, but you also see the Arrowverse and how long that took to develop. And looking back on it, you feel like it went fairly quickly.
Right. But it was probably a year or two.
It was two seasons before Flash showed up.
Right.
And then after that, it was, you know, a couple of seasons after that before we got what was next? Legends, I think, showed up after that.
Yeah, probably. Supergirl maybe was next.
But
even
Supergirl,
though she showed up on CBS.
CBS? So
it took her
places.
A while to get integrated, but like she was probably the next show that came after Flash. It just wasn't part of the CW until her second season.
But it
season,
was
really.
Integrated because
it was because
over
they had
there.
Right. There was one episode they crossed over between CBS and CW, which was pretty cool.
Right. It just didn't do the numbers on CBS. It did great numbers compared to CW, just not good CBS numbers.
Exactly, because CBS gets like all the inside. They get the NCIS numbers, you know.
Right.
Which everybody over 40 watches everything on CBS. So,
right.
Yeah, they weren't getting the Supergirl wasn't getting the Criminal Minds numbers or whatever.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Not enough people were dying.
Exactly.
Oh, all right. Is that it?
Yeah,
before
I mean,
we,
I get
lock up the store.
Obviously, a lot more I want to say, but spoiler free, that's probably as far as we can go. So,
all right, let's wrap this thing up here. We'll get the door locked so we can get into spoilers. That's it for spoiler free. You want to contact us during the week and, you know, pay attention on Twitter. You never know. John might have another teaser coming in the next year or two.
Oh, don't get used to that.
Yeah. That's why I said in the next year or two.
Especially since you made such a big deal of it. Now I feel the pressure.
I was excited. I'm like, usually I'm the ones trying to come up with these things and to actually add
I
input.
Feel more pressure. I had to go back and add some to my list because I wanted to make it more
you
meaningful.
To deliver.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get to that in a second. But in the meantime, you can catch us on Twitter at brightside_chat, or you can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. And you can check out us and all the other great podcasts at nerdylegion.com. You can go there. Check. There's a whole bunch of them. Like I said, Valiant Central, if you like XO or any of those great Valiant books. And please go on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. Really appreciate that too. So, with that, we're going to lock up the store, but if you are, you know, you want to stay away from the spoilers, we will see you next week. Have a great week. Happy holidays, and we'll see you then.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production.
All right, John, you're dying to get this, so why don't you lock that door?
It is locked.
All right, perfect.
But I was going to say, let's jump into Daredevil first, because...
Oh, okay, you're really teasing this out. You're
well, that,
big
because
money.
I feel
Did
like...
Take
we
a
could,
class?
That way we can spend that way we can spend the requisite amount of time on Mando at the end.
Oh, boy.
So I don't think Daredevil will take that long.
Okay. Good call. All right. So, what'd you think of Daredevil?
I thought it was great.
Issue 25.
Issue 25. I thought it was really good. It had been spoiled for me already, so.
Really?
Yeah, that was kind of a bummer. I really liked it.
How?
I really liked it. Well, in the in the notes. Like, I had my notes that I sent to you before I read the book.
Okay.
In Speculator Roundup, it says first Elektra as Daredevil. So,
oh, you saw that.
So I saw that yesterday, and I didn't even get my books until today. So unfortunately, I knew what was going to happen, but it still was really, really cool. So
yeah, it is.
I don't know how far they're going to take this, but I get a vibe of a little bit of like the Jane Foster Thor, where I think that they're setting it up for her to be Daredevil for a little while. Like, I think, you know, Matt gets sentenced to 2 years, right, in prison for for murder. So maybe
manslaughter.
So maybe she is our Daredevil for 24 months. You know, maybe we get a few issues, you know, 24 issues or, you know, 15 issues or however long it takes for 2 years to happen in the comics. But,
two issues.
Yeah, could be. Well, it could be next issue, because if you look at the previews at the end of this for next issue, he's, you know, it looks like Daredevil somewhere. So, but I kind of get the sense that, you know, like I said, you know, we had Jane Foster Thor for a couple of years, you know, and, but, you know, Odin's son was still around. You know, he popped up from time to time. You know, and obviously Matt is in jail, and, you know, we'll see him in probably every issue in some capacity. Like, it's not like he's dead.
Or his brother.
Or his brother.
Which that really got fleshed out in this.
Which that
issue
could be who
well.
We see. That could be who we see for next issue. I'm not sure. But I get the sense that, that I think Elektra's going to be Daredevil for a while, and I'm okay with that. Like, it's pretty cool. You know, obviously she is you know, the difference with, like, the Jane Foster storyline, right, is, like, Thor was a noble character, and so was Jane, right? So it wasn't too much of a stretch. You know, obviously it's two different people, but they kind of had the same ideals. You know, Matt and Elektra, they're not the same.
Right.
You know,
she's kind of going down the path that he started down 25 issues ago.
Right.
She's trying to do, you know, get out of the darkness. Is, I mean, it's basically exactly what she said.
But only because there's this prophecy that, you know, she found in that book from the Hand that says something about the king and queen.
And there can only be one.
There can only be one, but if she thinks Matt, she thinks Matt is the king, that she has to be the queen. And she is trying to do this to get him on board. Because he basically tells her, look, you want me to trust you, you've got to prove yourself. And so, you know, other than the fact that you just spent billions to buy the Hell's Kitchen, I guess that wasn't proof
enough.
Right,
she outbid Tony Stark.
Yeah. Yeah, so that wasn't proof enough. She has to do more in his eyes. But you know, anybody can spend money. That doesn't make you a good person. So
I've been trying. I'm out of it. So
I know, right?
Not anybody can do it.
But, but yeah, it's really interesting. This story just keeps going in different directions. And, like, every month you read it and it's like something different.
It's commonplace now, though, that, like, in the middle of the story, we're talking about Tony Stark.
Right.
Or, like, Spider-Man might drop in. But now Elektra's Daredevil.
Right.
Matt has a brother.
Right.
And I love how they put that in the book, too. They're like, oh, yeah. In the little, like, you know, asterisks. Oh, yeah. He has a brother now.
Right.
Go back and read the annual if you didn't.
For those that haven't read it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really like. Like I said, I really like where this story is going. And yet, at the same time, I'm really ticked off at Marvel for, like, not telling us. Like,
did
not
you
giving
even
us...
know you were getting 25 today? I was shocked about that.
Not specifically. I mean, I'm sure I saw it last week on my invoice, but I don't think I paid that much. Like, I didn't
pay
that much attention to it.
24 just came out last week.
Yeah.
And this is a monthly book.
Which, that's odd. You know, like,
yeah.
I don't need to start seeing these books weekly.
Well,
but
Slade said it was something to do, like they pushed it up because
there was schedule. Yeah, the
some
holidays,
kind of schedule,
and
whatever.
And stuff.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't think we're going to see this weekly going forward forever. But yeah, I mean, I didn't pay enough attention to be that surprised by it.
But I also don't want to wait another 2 months,
right? But you know, the news broke on Monday like in the retailer groups, because some stores get their books early, and you know, a lot of stores read them before they put them out. I don't know how they find the time to do that. I never have time to do that. But yeah, so you know, there was already things starting to break online that you know you're not going to have enough copies of this book. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it doesn't matter how many you ordered, you're not going to have enough. And they're right for the most part. Like, I'm sure there's stores out there that had a bunch of them, but the point is, it doesn't matter what you normally order. If you ordered what you normally do for your normal sales, you didn't have enough, because that many more people were going to come. So even if you order 100 of these for the shelf, if you do that every month, it's because you sell them, and that's still not enough, because you're going to have more people looking for it. And that's all on Marvel. Like, it baffles me that they
don't want to sell more.
They don't want to sell more books. And it's like, we're here to sell your product. It's like, if you tell us, we'll order it and we'll sell it. And, you know, like I was talking with somebody about this today. If they told us ahead of time to order more copies, this thing wouldn't be $25 now. Because there'd be enough. It's 25 bucks because there's not enough supply out there. But if there was enough of them to go around, then anybody that wanted it could buy it for $3.99. And like, that's for if you're a flipper, you know, I don't care about you, number one, anyways. But like, that's not what's healthy for the marketplace. Like, it doesn't matter if you sell 20 extra copies of Daredevil if they're just going to flippers, because they're not, you're not fostering future readers, right? Because the idea is you want them to come back for 26 and 27 and 28. And you only get to do that if people actually get to read the book. Not just buy it, put it in a bag and board, and sell it on eBay, and nobody ever actually reads the story. It just becomes a commodity. And that's not how you get more people reading your book. You get them reading your book by teasing something big and then making it available so that people can read it. And it just, and they do it all the time. I don't know how many times we've talked about it on this show where I've said, boy, if I only knew, I could have sold a lot more of these. And I don't say that because I want to sell a bunch of them for $30 each. I say it because I want to put it on my rack and have all these people that call for it be able to come in and buy it, because maybe they come back for the next issue. And I don't know. I just don't understand why. There's no other industry that I can think of where like publishers or producers, vendors, don't do everything they possibly can to sell more product. You know, it's like, I get a call from my board game distributors every single Tuesday trying to get me to buy something. Marvel never calls me and says, hey, by the way, order a bunch of Daredevil 25s because it's going to be great. You don't even have to tell me what happens. Just tell me that it's going to be great, and I'll buy it.
Right.
You know,
new character.
Right. So I know the biggest reason why they do these things is because some retailer can't keep their mouth shut, and they're going to call Rich at CBR, and he's going to have it online 2 weeks before the book comes out. You know, and they don't want that. And you know, it's the bad apple retailers that kind of ruin it for the rest of us. And but at the end of the day, don't you want to sell more books? Like, that's their whole reason for being. Like, Marvel only exists to sell comics.
They're in,
right? That's it. Like, if you don't sell books, what are you doing? You know, that's the only reason why you're here. Disney makes movies. You sell comics. You know, it's not the same. So. Yeah. I don't know. That's just a tangent that doesn't have anything to do with how good the book is. But it just boggles my mind that we don't know these things in advance so that we can sell more copies.
Right.
Yeah. You
know. But if you can get your hands on a copy, and if you listen to this, you probably already did. But
hopefully you did, because we're spoiling the crap out of it. But
that's the point. We locked the door. You had your warning. We tried to lock you out. You got in.
That's right. I don't know how you got in, but you got in.
Out the Kryptonite Key Club. They found the key under the Kryptonite.
They found the key, yep. I forgot.
So
yeah, I forgot our ruse.
Forgot.
Yeah. I didn't remember what story we were telling.
I got one right here.
Yeah.
No, you're not even looking.
I can't. I'm not looking.
All right. That was issue 25. I can't believe that's been running for 25 issues.
Yeah, it's like it feels like we just started talking about this book, and it's been 2 years or 2 years really. Yeah.
Well, it started in actually, it's less than 2 years.
Less than which I don't know. I guess
it started after the new year, our first year of podcasting.
I guess we've doubled up some issues because technically it should have been 25 months ago, but. There must have been a few months. There must have been a few months where we had some. Well,
a couple,
hell, we
like
had
this.
Two back to back. Yeah,
so. Yeah. So, all right, let's get to it. Let's get to the big news. You want to go right to your grievances, and then we'll talk positively after that.
No, well,
or just
I mean,
mix and mosh the whole thing up.
No, let's just go. Let's just kind of talk about the episode itself first, because you know there's a lot that happened in this episode.
I love the opening.
Yeah, well, and that's what I was going to say earlier, and I figured I would wait because if you hadn't seen it, I didn't want to spoil this. But, like, right. I was fully ready to wait until minute 46 to see Ahsoka. You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah, like, I really thought that we weren't going to get her until deep in the episode. And then I was like, well, maybe we'll see her in the credits. And we did. It was just like the opening. Like, we literally opened the show with Ahsoka, which I thought was
great. It was like
great.
The opening of Rise of Skywalker with Kylo.
It was very much like that.
Forest, lightsaber battle, duels, dual lightsabers, which was really cool.
Yeah. And she was fantastic. You know, I mean, I think she brought Ahsoka to life. I mean, she looked spot on. Like, they did a great job with the makeup.
Unbelievable job. I was,
you know, we had seen fan casting photos of her as Ahsoka, and really they were spot, like, they looked just like it. I mean, they did a great job. It feels like the Disney people went off of those pictures. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Boss Logic made this picture and it looks great, so let's do that.
The other thing is, I actually went back to season 7 and looked up and was like, it wasn't her voice, but I do remember saying in Clone Wars season 7, thinking, because she had already been cast at that point.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I remember
knew.
Saying it was, I'm like, it even sounds like Rosario Dawson in the Clone Wars.
Right.
But it's not her. But
no, it's Ashley Eckstein, and she played Ahsoka really
Throughout,
yeah, from start to finish, she was always Ahsoka. So.
But once she was, Rosario Dawson was cast, she epitomized the role already.
Right,
you just could put her in there, and her voice even sounded like it, because we knew her so well from Daredevil and stuff.
Well, right, and because the fan art that was out there, I mean. It made her look,
but even
like
her
Ahsoka.
Voice though.
So,
but her voice too. Like I said, it's like in season 7, I thought she was doing it,
right?
But it wasn't her. But she does sound like that. She sounds so much like Ahsoka, and it's like it was so great. And her motions. The one thing that Joe kept noticing through the episode was that she wasn't holding her sabers the way she.
And she did
with them back on her.
She
arms.
Did at the end, right? Because I was going to say
when she
that.
Lost one, she switched,
right? Because her trademark throughout all the Clone Wars was, the way she kind of held it backwards.
That's a style, like a samurai style or something. Like, I don't know the name of it, but that's an actual style that they use. And but yeah, when she lost one of her sabers, she took the other one and like resorted to her roots really and went back to that, which was really cool. And when she did it, Joe noticed it right away.
I did too, because I was looking for it.
Well, that's what I mean. Through the entire episode, he was like, she's not holding him right. She's not holding him right. And then when she did, he goes, there it is. So that was pretty cool. It was really cool.
But yeah, I read a couple of interviews with Rosario after this aired because, you know, she was finally able to talk about it. She wasn't able to talk about it beforehand. But,
surprise!
Like, she studied this role extensively. Like, she said she watched every episode multiple times to get the mannerisms and the movements and all that stuff down. So, I think she brought it to life. I mean, she did a great job.
Yeah.
Like, really to the point where – I mean, I love The Mandalorian, But like, that's all I want is more Ahsoka. You know what I mean? Because like, right. I already love that character. Like I really, you know, kind of fell in love with that character by the end of Clone Wars and Rebels. And, you know, that, and that was the only place we could get her. Like, there's no comics. There's really no anything else to follow her story. But like, she's the one you kind of, she's like the Luke almost in a way, right? Cause, well, even Anakin in a sense, but like, she's the one you grow up with. Like, she, you know, you start as a teenager and she's just a Padawan, and we get her whole journey to adulthood and where she is now. And you get it over seven seasons of a show. So you spend a lot of time with her.
Right.
And, yeah, I really came to, like, she's one of my favorite characters in Star Wars, period.
Well, and she is, for all intents and purposes, and we've had this discussion, she is the most fleshed out character in the Star Wars universe.
More than any of them, yeah.
Nobody has gotten the backstory and the amount of story put into their character than her.
Right.
And, I mean, the next closest, I would say, would be Ezra.
Ezra, yeah.
Because we started with him
Anakin,
as a kid.
I mean, you kind of you get a lot of Anakin, especially through the Clone Wars. Like,
right?
There's a lot. Anakin That's gets true. Pretty fleshed out, but not initially. Like when you just saw the movies, it wasn't that. It wasn't the case. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You kind of had to go into those other outside, like the Clone Wars.
There's still a lot more to be fleshed out about Anakin, though, too, because we always feel like we didn't really get to see, and every time we get a glimpse of it, whether it's in a comic or at the end of Rogue One, where we really get to see the true evil Darth Vader.
Well,
the,
and,
the
and we're getting that in the comics.
In Rebels, too.
Well, yeah, but we're getting that in the comics. But yeah, you're right. We never... You never really got to see, like, the evil Darth Vader, you know what I mean? Like, by the time you see him in A New Hope, you hear a lot about how evil he is, but you didn't really see it, you know?
Right.
And, you know, through the end of Revenge of the Sith, you know, he was just becoming Vader, so you could kind of see the path. You know, he slaughtered a bunch of younglings and a bunch of, you know, a bunch of Tusken Raiders, but you never really got to see him terrorizing the galaxy. Like, you don't know why everybody's so afraid of him, because most people didn't hear about him killing a bunch of Tusken Raiders. You know, they're afraid because of what he's done. And yeah, you never really get to see that. And I don't know if it's unfortunately or fortunately, but the comics now are where we're really getting that story. But that's still ripe for, you know, a TV show or a miniseries or something.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, we know they're trying to get away from the Skywalker story, so I don't know how much more of it we're going to get.
Right. But yeah, Ahsoka's, though, her story, there's still more of hers that could be told, but she is definitely the most fleshed out character. And that's what makes, I mean, you start the Clone Wars, and obviously I started it late. But
me too.
When
you I just watched it this year. Yeah.
Right. When you start it, you're like, oh, what's the big hype? But it takes a little bit of time to get that traction. But once you do, you're locked in on her.
Well, it was kind of like.
And it's such a great
like that
story.
Was a Clone Wars was a show that was made for kids. So, like, she's the kids' entrance to that show, right? Like, she was built into that show for the kids to identify with. And so, yeah. But obviously, when you start that show, you have no attachment to her at all. And yeah, coming to it late, you had heard about her, but yeah, you're like, oh, what's the big deal? You know what I mean? It's like, but yeah, they do such a great job over the course of that show. And really, I think even more in Rebels too, even though she doesn't appear as much in Rebels, but what she does and.
But they're powerful.
Right.
Because
they're
when she shows up, you're like, oh, because she's older.
Right.
And the few times she shows up in Rebels, you're like, she's not even sure who Vader is.
Right.
Because she doesn't know.
Right. And she doesn't know.
That's a fun part of the story. And then she starts to learn. Like, I think she gets the feel, if I remember right.
Yeah,
or
well,
something
it's that
like
scene.
That.
It's that battle where they're in the, like, the crossroads or whatever it was. Like, between the timelines or dimensions where she battles Vader. And I think that's when she feels that it's Anakin, or he might even, I don't know, I'd have to go back and watch it. He might even tell her that he's Anakin. I don't remember. But, because obviously he knew who she was.
Right.
So he might be the one that said something to her. I don't know. But there's such great scenes between her because, you know, she loved Anakin so much, you know, and it's like, to see that he became that was like.
Oh, Anakin loved her too.
He did, yeah.
Anakin helped her out. And like
even,
when she
even
was
in
that,
even in Rebels, when he was Vader, you could still see the conflict. Because,
right.
You know, he had such an attachment for her. And, yeah, it was great. It's great storytelling. And unfortunately, so many people just don't have that because they didn't watch those shows, you know.
Right.
Like I said, Lydia watches this with me and. She's enjoying it, and she thought this was a good episode, too, but she doesn't know who Ahsoka is. She didn't know who Bo-Katan was. Like, she just doesn't have any
right.
foundation for these characters. And I guess that's a testament to it being good enough on its own, because
right.
she still liked it, but, like, how much more would you like it if, you know, you spent that time with those characters ahead of time, you know what I mean? So
yeah. Our buddy Zach, that's down on the border there. He's in the guards.
Yeah,
I lived up here. I was talking to him. I talk to him every week now. He DMs me,
right?
And always, like, he grew up with this, and
yeah.
he loved this show growing up. So he knows it all inside and out. One of his comments today or yesterday, I think he said. He's like, I think they did a good job. It's all building up to an epic battle between Din and Moff. And he's like, though I'm super pumped about Thrawn, he is one of my favorite characters. So he's really looking forward to all of that.
I don't know if it's building up to any kind of big event with Din and Moff. Like, I think they're building towards Bo-Katan and Moff
well,
Gideon, you know?
That's that's the way he sees it coming because he knows even more about, like, I think he's read the books. He's read all of this. He's been telling me about this stuff and talking to him over and over over the past couple of years and everything that, you know, he's so engrossed in this because he did. He grew up with it. He's only like 23, 24. So he was young when these started. And the only thing I can liken this to is, like, you know, all of these characters coming to life is when Spider-Man and Tobey Maguire in 2002
right.
for us, because we never had that growing up. We never got to see a real Spider-Man on the screen.
Right.
And now, I mean, to see Ahsoka come to life and not be animated in Bo-Katan coming to life and all of these, and then, you know, the chances of Thrawn coming to life, that's going to be a cool character.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's go back to that, because you kind of, like, low-key slid that in there, but that was a huge revelation in this episode.
Yeah.
Because, like, I didn't see that coming from a mile away. Like, I thought she was looking for Gideon, you know, the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, because when she kept saying, where is your master, where is your master, I was like, well, she's looking for Gideon. And, like, when they dropped Thrawn, I was like, didn't see that coming, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what, you know, again, goes back to what I was saying earlier. Like, you know, that just doesn't take place this season on The Mandalorian. Like, they're going, she's looking for Thrawn,
yeah.
but that's a story we're going to see somewhere else. And, like, that's what's got me super excited for, you know, kind of what's to come.
Spin-off
because,
for
you know, we've heard about
season.
A spinoff with Ahsoka, but we don't know. It hasn't been confirmed yet.
Right.
But, like, she is poised to have, like, to me, if they're not doing an Ahsoka spinoff series, they're doing something wrong, you know, because they have to know how pop, like, The Mandalorian gets ratings, and that's great. I think an Ahsoka show gets more ratings than this one does, you know, because going going into this show, like, The Mandalorian was an unknown character, you know what I mean? Like, there was excitement
True.
For it. Because he looks like Boba Fett, and, you know, it was something new, and people were looking forward to that. But they didn't know who Din Djarin was. Like, nobody was, like, salivating for his story. But, like, with Ahsoka, there's a built-in, you know, fan base of millions already. Like, I think that, like, they're just will be all over that show. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. See, I think he see like, Zach saying with Din and Moff is, like, so he still has, you know, Grogu with him. Right. So they haven't been separated. And speaking of that, that end scene where he's like, time to say goodbye.
Yeah.
That could have been a super emotional scene if you thought for a second that that was actually going to happen.
You know they're never getting separated. Like, they're always going to be together. You know?
I don't know about that.
I don't think they're ever taking that. Really? I don't think they're ever taking that kid off this show, you know, because so many people tune in just for now Grogu.
Right.
We don't have to say Baby Yoda anymore, even though we were never supposed to anyways, because they always said that it wasn't. But yeah, that's the other big announcement was the name, of Grogu.
It kind of casually dropped.
Yeah, well, which was cool, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a bunch of revelations in this show. I feel like we should address them before we just casually bring them up. But, you know, we got his name, right? We got Grogu's name. We got his backstory. We learned that because we thought he was stolen from his planet or something. Like, we didn't really know.
Right.
But, you know, we find out that he was in the Jedi Temple on Coruscant during Order 66, so like we didn't know any of that. So you get a lot of, you know, we find out a lot in this episode. Like, there's really a lot of stuff that happened. You know, and like I said, a couple of, like, three really big revelations. You know, obviously his name. which, you know, I'm not in love with, let's be fair. don't love the name Grogu, but I guess it'll grow on me. I guess I didn't love Yoda that much either, but.
Yeah, I was like, I think it just has to be two syllables, right? I think that's what it is. Grogu, Yoda.
Yeah. you know, we had that revelation, then we had, you know, his background story, which we didn't know, and then we got Thrawn. So, like, there was like a couple of big jaw dropping things. Besides just Ahsoka, I think, that happened in this episode. So there's really a lot to talk about here.
Well, what is your – what? I'm dying to know
you're
what
dying
your
to get to
are.
It. I know. I guess I've teased it long enough. I just keep putting it off because it's not that great.
Because I think it's going to lead to other things.
Well, it's not as great as what you built it up to be. That's the problem. So.
You're the one that built it up. You didn't have to send that text. All right. Go ahead.
So anyway. All right.
Here we go.
So, yeah, so
do I need a drum roll?
No, but again, I'll preface this by saying, you know, I thought this episode was great. I loved it. Nothing I'm going to say really takes away from that. But there's a couple of things I bumped into as I was watching it,
as I'm wont to do.
I wasn't looking for it. It found me.
You sure you weren't?
But anyway, so number one on my list of air quotes grievances. Going back to the title of the episode, like, they keep referring to Ahsoka as the Jedi. Ahsoka is not a Jedi.
That's what Joe said.
Ahsoka she is not. She left the Jedi Order in the Clone Wars prior to being declared anything.
She was a Padawan.
She was a Padawan. She wields white lightsabers, which indicate neutrality. She is not Jedi or Sith. She has even said multiple times in Rebels that she is not a Jedi, but in this show, she is perfectly comfortable being called a Jedi and, you know, letting people think she is one. So that bugged me a little bit because.
Can I retort?
You can.
Okay.
But you're wrong.
the Jedi are all but eliminated.
Yes.
She's all that's left.
I mean, she's the closest thing to one.
Exactly.
Right. But
so why don't I let you retort? Because you just did.
I know. I did.
It's like she's the closest thing to one.
Yes.
So that's why you are correct. She did say in Clone Wars, I am not a Jedi, because she was thrown out of the Jedi Order. She was banished or whatever you want to call it.
She wasn't. She left. She was
she
suspended.
Had to run because she was going
she
to
was,
be tried
she was,
unjustly.
Right. They accused her of something she didn't do. But when she was acquitted, they wanted her back. Like, they were perfectly willing to welcome her back. So she wasn't technically thrown out of the order.
Right.
She was disillusioned with the whole
process.
But
all of that, her getting her back, was shortly before Order 66. And, I mean, a lot of stuff took place where she was not able to come back.
But I don't think she was. She was disillusioned with the Jedi. You know, like, I think she... no longer
they turned on her.
Right.
She, felt.
She yeah. no longer felt like she believed in all of their ideals. Like she thought they were being corrupted, which they were, right? Because they were being corrupted by Palpatine, you know, and there was a lot of stuff that was happening. So she was disillusioned and decided not to rejoin. Now, that doesn't mean she forgot everything she was taught.
Oh, no, no. She has one of the most powerful. Right.
She has, you know, she has all the skills of a Jedi, but she doesn't necessarily believe in their ideals 100%.
Right.
And doesn't consider herself one because she said in Rebels that she is not.
She said in Rebels she is not, but you can see that in now, knowing what happened with Order 66 and how the Jedi were played, that maybe she's like, all right, well, I'm not going to deny it now because I'm all that's really left. Right. It's me and
I think her belief system, obviously she leans more Jedi than Sith. You know what I mean? Like she's much closer to a Jedi than she is a Sith, but she, like I said, she doesn't classify herself as one and she technically
isn't. Speaking of
one.
That, did you notice, like she didn't want to train baby Yoda.
Right.
Grogu, because she felt he was too attached. She had, it was, I mean, dead on accurate for everything that's happened in the past. And that when I said in, when we were talking spoiler free, I was like a lot of throwbacks here, a lot of callbacks to different lines. And that was one of them where she was talking about like,
I know
Grogu
it's on my list.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but she also said, like, if you remember, like, remember in, I saw this on a YouTube thing or something, but in season one and baby Yoda choking out, Cara Dune.
Right.
And because she, you know, he went dark side.
Right.
And she's already seen, and that's what, you know, she's already seeing that in him.
Right.
So I thought that was pretty cool. But go ahead, next one. Sorry,
right.
Didn't mean to interrupt the negativity.
No, you're fine, but I'll expound on that in a minute. All right, so the second thing is, so Ahsoka rolls up to the front of the compound. And she's talking with the magistrate.
The wall.
Yeah, the wall. Yep. She's talking with the magistrate, and she wants to know
Michael Bean?
Well, Michael Bean was the hired gun, but the magistrate
is the
woman.
The woman,
You know, she wants information that the magistrate has. She wants to know where Thrawn is. And so she's standing at the gate, and she's wanting that information, and the magistrate says, I'm not going to give it to you, and I'm going to torture 100 people. You know, to get you to stop asking me. And Ahsoka says, all right, I'll see you tomorrow. So it's like,
well, that's not exactly what she said. She said, you're already been torturing them.
Right. So here's the thing. I'm here now. It's like, you're already torturing these people. You just told me you're going to torture them, even more people, for, you know, however long. And yet, I'm just going to take off and, you know, I don't care about their suffering. I'm just going to go home and have a nap.
She's giving her a chance to think about it.
Yeah.
You'll have to deal with the consequences.
Think about how many ways you could torture these people for the next 24 hours. Like, if I'm the dude that's in the cage, I'm not too happy that Ahsoka went to have dinner and take a nap. You know, it's like, I don't know. What's the point of that? Like, I'm here now. You're here now.
Draw out the episode, John. Well, it was 47 minutes. Okay, 1 minute you want it to be longer than a half hour, and another minute you're complaining they're drawing it out too long.
The only reason 24 hours exist is so that the Mandalorian has time to get there. But, you know, I mean, I understand from a viewer perspective why that happened. But from, like, Ahsoka's point of view, she doesn't know that.
That happens all the time in movies.
She doesn't
people
know anybody's
do
that.
They
coming.
Always give.
It was like that high noon thing. It's like, you know,
yeah,
I'll,
exactly. Yeah. Like a Western. And that's what most of Mandalorian is, like a Western.
Meet me after school and I'm going to kick your butt. And like, how many people just show up? It's like,
I did.
Like, well,
I got my ass kicked.
I did too, but it's like, why? Like, why do you show up?
But that's what you know? Do. It's like, you put out the threat and then you deal with it later.
I don't know. I just was thinking, like, you know, through that whole thing, like,
you like to nitpick.
Well, the thing is, because she's a quote unquote Jedi, right? Supposedly or whatever. Like, she really didn't care at all about the people suffering or the conditions of that camp. She was only there to get information that she wanted. Like, if the magistrate would have yelled down from that wall, oh, go find Thrawn at the 7-Eleven on the corner of, you know, 5th and Vine or whatever, like, Ahsoka just turns around and leaves. Like, she wasn't there to save anybody, you know?
Right.
She didn't really care about their suffering or what was going on. And, like, I was just thinking,
well,
like...
Well, you also find out later she doesn't know what's on the other side of the wall.
No, but she knows they're suffering.
But she also doesn't know what she's getting into. So she doesn't want to attack then, because what if she gets overtaken?
But what was she going to learn in 24 hours? What was going to be different?
I don't
different?
Know. Maybe she was, I don't know.
You know, nothing was going to be
did
different.
She did learn more.
Well, yeah,
she learned it from Din.
But she didn't know that was going to happen. I don't know. I just was thinking, like, what's going to happen in a day? Like, why are we not doing,
why are we not doing this now? All right. I hope the next one has more to do with a Star Wars nitpick than it is a storyline. So
it does.
Okay, cool.
So then Ahsoka meets Din Djarin, right? And Grogu. After like a little bit of run around and, you know, question and answer and testing that she does with Grogu, she says, I can't.
Yeah.
Because his mission was to get Grogu back to his people, and he was told that the way to do that was to find a Jedi that could help him find his people. He has no interest in him getting trained in the Force that he didn't even know about. You know, like, nowhere anywhere did the training Grogu come up. Like, I don't even know why that was a thing. Because
that's a good one.
That wasn't part
that's
of the story.
That's a good call. You know? His next line should have been, I didn't ask
right,
you to train
right.
him.
Who asked you?
just take him off my hands.
Exactly. I just want to get him home. So I was like,
yeah.
I was like, well, okay, but that was the first thing
that's
I said. Who asked you to?
Yeah. You know? Now I want to go back and watch that scene.
Well, I watched it again. This is the only episode.
I haven't watched it since you said that.
This is the only episode I've ever watched twice. I've never watched a Mandalorian episode twice. But after I knew I was going to have to defend my stuff, I watched it again to make sure I wasn't wrong.
Oh, you still might be wrong.
I might be wrong, but I watched it twice, so I feel like I'm okay.
No, I do like that one, though, because you're right. Because his original, I mean, when Carl Weathers told him you need to get, I think.
I don't even remember who it was that told him that, but, you know, he was.
Yeah, it wasn't Carl Weathers.
Yeah, but somewhere along season one.
Because he was originally hired to get the child.
Well, right, for the bad
to
guys.
To the Empire.
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
And then he took him, I'm trying to remember who told him to get him to a Jedi.
Right. Really wasn't probably until the very end of season one or the beginning of season two. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But, you know, it became
like
his
that.
Mission to get the child back
just
to
a Jedi
people.
Because they would be able to get him to his people.
Right. Right.
So,
which again,
yeah, you're right. Yeah. That would have been a great line to come out of Din to be like, I didn't ask you to train him.
Right.
Just like, just clap his hands together and be like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You're a Jedi? The one time she doesn't say she's not a
exactly,
Jedi.
Exactly, exactly. Because that's what she should have said. She was like, I'm not a Jedi. I can't take
I'm
him.
Not a Jedi. We would have had a standoff.
Yeah. So, all right.
All right. That's a good one.
Okay.
All right.
I'm glad you approve.
You're one for three.
One for
so
three.
Far.
Okay. All right. So,
all right, let's go.
Point number four. We learned that Grogu.
How many are there?
Six.
Oh, God. Okay, good.
Point number
four. More than halfway. Here we go.
We learn that Grogu was trained at the Jedi Temple on Coruscant prior to Order 66. You know who else was trained at the Jedi Temple on Coruscant prior to Order 66? Ahsoka Tano. So why did she not know Grogu already? There can't have been that many Jedi Padawans training.
Because I saw on this Coruscant. One online too. This one was, because of his age difference, she probably never would have run into him.
Well, but she taught classes. She became like an instructor somewhat. And, you know she wasn't always at the temple because she was off having all her missions, but they spent a lot of time there, you know?
No, I know. So. But, she might not. I mean, there were a lot of younglings, and
I feel like there weren't that
very
many.
Young.
And he looked just
but
like
he was
Yoda.
Also so, look at how young he is now.
Yeah. Well, he's 50.
Imagine. So, huh?
He's 50.
No, but I mean, little. Look at how little he right. is now. It's like, would he have been even in any of those classes that she was teaching? Or that's an oversight that I can totally.
Well, it's kind of like that. It's just like, you know, Obi-Wan not remembering R2 and C-3PO. You know, it's backwards writing.
That to me is worse.
Well, it's worse, but again, because it's what happens when you write things after the fact.
Yeah, but the one with Obi-Wan is he actually interacted with them.
Oh, I know.
You know, we know it's not like we have video or we have animated versions of her interacting with him and going, never met him before, which Obi-Wan literally says, I've never seemed to own a droid before. And then you go and watch the prequels and you're like, yes, he never owned them. But he loved R2.
Right, but that was the product of George writing that story before he knew he was going to write the next one. This is Dave Filoni writing this episode when he didn't know when he was writing Clone Wars that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
So,
but
it's backwards storytelling.
They never showed up.
But it's also the same writer, so you should kind of know your own history.
Yeah, but I can answer that one.
Because that didn't
I mean,
have
I can,
to
you can
I guess my point is that his background could have been anything. It didn't have to be that.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, well,
but he was also hidden away, he was whisked away, blah blah blah. So they just wanted to tie him into the trilogies and be able, but I can believe that. I can believe that she didn't run into him.
I believe again, these are just things I thought of when I was watching the episode. It's not.
You're 1.5 for 4.
Okay.
I'll give you
I don't know where your scoring comes from, but, all right. These last two are actually big ones for me because I think they actually go against Ahsoka's character. Which.
Interesting.
You know, we've kind of built her character for a long time. I feel like we know who she is, right?
Right.
And Dave Filoni wrote this episode, so he should know who she is too. But. Ahsoka says she cannot train Grogu essentially because of Anakin, right? Like, she has seen what happens when even the best of us go down the wrong path, right? And she's really essentially afraid to train Grogu because she does not want another Darth Vader out in the universe. And, like, that's a big thing. Like, you don't train the next Hitler or Darth Vader, right? So she says, I can't do it. And then and then Mando says, well, I'll help you at the compound if you agree to do it. Ahsoka was already going to the compound by herself the day before. Like, she was perfectly ready to go in on her own. His help isn't enough to change her mind. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, you'll help me get this information? Well, I'll make a new Darth Vader then. You know what I mean? It's like... That wasn't
but then
enough.
She doesn't do it, though.
Well, that's point number six. But she agrees to do it here, you know? And so, you know what I mean? Like, she agrees to the deal. And when we're watching this, we don't know yet that she's going to back out of the deal. So I'm just like, that's not a big enough reason to train the next Darth Vader, you know? Like, I just feel like she made the right decision by saying no. And the flip-flop to saying yes wasn't compelling enough. Like, the reason wasn't there, you know? Like, that, to me, fundamentally goes against Ahsoka. Because I think there is nothing, no circumstance you can put in front of her, especially knowing her attachment to Anakin and what happened, that would convince her otherwise, you know? Like, there's no way she's going to train this kid. And I think her agreeing to that is fundamentally against Ahsoka's character. I mean, obviously you can retort, but like, I will not change my mind on that. Like, I just don't believe that she would do that in any way. So,
well, then I don't know. I think you're looking for something there because. I just went with the story.
Yeah, well, again,
you don't know
not...
what she's been through since the last time we saw her. You're judging her on something that you have. It's a character. You don't know, and it's like, I mean,
well,
that's,
but I feel like we
there's
do.
There's nothing
know.
To. No, wait a minute. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me retort.
I know, but we do know her. Like, I didn't talk to you for for 10 years, right? But, like, did you know me?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, like,
I know, yeah.
You had history with me for a long time. Like, if I came back.
You didn't go off and fight a battle.
No,
either.
But if I came back, like, when you came to visit me, like, if I was, like, like a totally different person, wouldn't you have said, well, that's out of character for John? Because, like.
Yeah, but you're not put in the same circumstances, though. It's like, you don't know, like, why she would. Like, maybe she knew I needed his help. I need somebody's help to get what I need to do here, because she's thinking of the bigger mission, which is, you know, what she wants to do.
She didn't need it yesterday, though.
Why not? How do you know she didn't? Because she turned around and walked away. We already discussed that one.
Well, right,
you're like, why didn't she just go in? Maybe she knew she was outmatched. I don't know.
Yeah.
I could go with it. And like you said, as we talked earlier, we were like, we don't know where this story is going. We have no idea what her big plan is.
Well, she's trying to find Ezra. We do know, right? Because
well, that too. Yeah.
She's trying to find Ezra. But, like, that's her mission from the end of Rebels. She's still on it, so we kind of know.
Well,
but again,
as far as we know.
But again, let's go with that, and it might be different. Maybe for all we know, she's already found Ezra. You know what I mean? But
right,
but let's say that's her mission, right? Is finding Ezra more important than not making another Darth Vader? You know what I mean? It's like,
but that's the thing, is maybe she manipulated the situation to get that. Maybe she had no intentions of, she knew at the time, which that's how the story played out. So you can't say that she was going to train him. Maybe she said it to get the help. And then she's like, look, I can't train him.
Right. Well, and that wraps up, like, this is, that wraps up into my last point, right? Because
and you think she's like, always has to tell the truth.
Yeah, well, because again, she made an agreement and she went back on her word, and like, I just feel like that's not the Ahsoka we know. You know what I mean? Like, there's lots of things that we know about her, but she is like probably the most trustworthy character we've seen. You know what I mean? Like, her character is not that. Like, even if like she didn't think it was a good idea, I feel like if she made the deal, then she would follow through with the deal. I just didn't lie. Again, I'm not looking for things. Let's go back to the beginning. I love this episode, but there are still things that I'm like, well, huh? You know, like, I don't think that's what she would do. You know, it's like, I went with it. You know, it's not my story to tell. I'll enjoy whatever you're telling me, but I'm just like in my head, I'm like, that doesn't seem like what Ahsoka would do. You know. And
I always leave my brain at the door. You can't read too much into this stuff. And that's with a few of these, I feel like that's what you're doing, is you're looking. No, I don't think you're looking for trouble. I don't think you're purposely doing it, but I just think you're like, you're getting too involved with the character on, we don't know what happened in between. Maybe something changed her. Maybe she's, you know, who knows? And
well, and again,
there's a lot of room for change in there. There's a lot of room to believe how this story played out.
Well, I feel like, all right. So like, let's say I'm Lydia, right? And I'm watching this episode. I don't bump into any of those things that I just talked about. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because there's
absolutely.
History with that character. So you don't know that she would or wouldn't do that stuff. You know what I mean? But I feel like if we got 7 seasons of a show with her, we should know that character pretty well. And yes, we haven't seen her for a while, right? Like, we don't know from the end of Rebels
and
to
she
now.
Was mostly a child.
We don't really know what's happened to her. But like, most things that you go through in your life, they affect your life, but they don't usually fundamentally change your being. You know what I mean? Like, again, going back to you and I, like, a lot of stuff happened to me in my life in the time that we didn't speak or hang out. You know what I mean? But, like, I'm still the same person, you know? Like,
right.
For the most
part.
Most
of the stuff that happened to us in the time we were apart was mostly, like, normal.
I mean, I got divorced twice. I almost died. Like, I had some pretty big things happen in my life that, you know, could shake a person.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Right. But those are all things that whatever did change you, it's not like I'd be like, okay, well, I could see that. Right. and you can see that. But I know, like, people go off, you know, people serve their country and come home, and they are a different person. That has happened. And that's far less time than what, you know, the time that you and I were apart. That's a life-changing event.
Yeah, it's, but are the they things, and that's are they maybe they're different in the sense that they're not happy-go-lucky anymore, or you know what I mean? Things happen, but are they like are they liars now when they weren't before? You know what I mean? Like, does their do their morals
change? But their outlook. I know one in particular that I don't want to talk about.
Well,
on
no,
the
that's
air,
fine.
I know somebody that changed completely when he came home, like a completely different person.
Yeah.
So. It's. It, I mean, that, that's why it's fresh
right.
In
there's
my
outliers.
Mind. And
right.
Not to bring that into yeah. Star Wars. And
no,
stuff.
I'm not.
And all, this is
I know.
Supposed to be fun.
I know, but
that's the point. It's like she might have had. We don't know, and it's like, and that's why when we're dealing with a situation like this, I always just look at. I go with. I'll have that knowledge and be like, oh, that might not be exactly how she would be, but a lot of time has passed, and this is a fun story too, and it's working for me. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, I mean, again, love the episode. I'm not like
you have to keep prefacing,
right?
That.
Well, because again, I'm not like I don't say any of this stuff to like diminish the show
right.
at all.
No,
it's just
I know.
Things that I thought of while I was watching it. You know, that I thought would be fun
We're going deep inside the mind of.
I thought they would
right
be
now.
Fun to talk about. You know.
While he sat at home in his underwear.
I really knew that, yeah, because I knew that you would have opposing points of view on almost everything I have to say. And I thought it would be fun to,
yeah,
to
it
talk
is.
About
it
these
is
things.
Fun. I do like that Mando one though. I like the one. I didn't ask you to right. train him. I think that's great. I can't wait to go back and watch that one. So. That's great. That's great.
Again, if this is her now, I'm fine. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If this,
I still, I mean,
if this is her,
I mean,
now,
I
if this
agree
is her
with
new
you.
Character,
it's not,
I'm okay
it's
with
not
it.
Not her character. I don't think it's that diverse, but from her, or that much of a change of her other character. But I do see what you're saying, but I can accept it. I didn't think it was a flaw in the story.
Right.
But hey, we'll see how it plays out. And imagine if they answer it.
Well, maybe they will.
In
again,
the coming seasons.
Maybe they do, you know?
So. And that'll be a funny text.
Yeah. Well, now, and then the last thing is not on my list. Oh. Well, this is not on my list at all. It's not a grievance
oh,
at all.
Okay.
It's more, it's conversation, right? Because,
yep.
like, who comes to find him? Right? Because, you know, now his mission is to get him to
oh, yeah.
the next planet and put him on
right.
the seeing stone at the top of the temple. And which, like, he's just cool with, like, going wherever they tell him to go, right? He's like, okay, I thought I was done, but now I have to take him somewhere else. But,
well, I think he's rich, isn't he? He has all the money.
Well, he's got his Beskar, so,
right. And he has,
but yeah,
more,
so now
so
the question is,
cash.
And Ahsoka even prefaces it by saying, you know, there's not a lot of Jedi left, but, you know, there's obviously a wild speculation out there now, based on who's it going to be, right? So, I mean, there's a few options that are
Luke,
that are
Ezra.
Right.
We talked about
a few,
it. Luke,
right,
Ezra,
a few
her.
Options. It's Luke, Ezra would be the two main ones, right? The one that would make the most sense would be Luke, but he's probably the one we're least likely to see because.
Ooh, wait a minute! I got an answer to your her. She's not a Jedi.
Okay.
Well, if she's not a Jedi, why did she speak to Rey at the end of Rise of Skywalker? She was one of the voices.
She was one of the voices. Don't know.
So when she passes as a Jedi.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I don't know. Yeah. But again, we don't know what happens between
now and then. Well, we know she passes.
Right. We know she dies, obviously, right? But
right.
But that's all we know.
A lot of time between now and then.
Yeah. Well.
She could die an old woman.
I mean, in theory, right? Like,
what do you mean?
Well, I was going to say, like.
Time in theory?
No, no, but I was
going to
say.
Talking about something else.
In theory, like, is Luke, like, how's Luke a Jedi? You know what I mean? Like, Luke didn't train anywhere. He didn't even finish his training with Yoda, but yet he gets to die and become a Force ghost.
No, no, no. So, he said that, they said that in Return of the Jedi. That's why it was called Return of the Jedi, because he became a Jedi in that episode. He went that episode, that, yeah, episode, I guess. They called the movie an episode. He went back to see Yoda, and right before Yoda passed, he made him a Jedi, and he says, so I am a Jedi. Remember? Luke actually says that.
Well, right, but then he says, not until you face Vader. You know what I mean?
But he had faced Vader. Yeah. That was an empire.
Yeah, I don't know.
He said
it just
that
seems like there's much different qualifications for how one becomes a Jedi. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Like, but when there's only a couple left in the galaxy, then, well, yeah, that, but again, they loosen the
That feels
the
like
reins.
Yoda was, like, Yoda is Oprah, right? It's like, you're a Jedi, and you're a Jedi. Like,
well, no,
he didn't really have to do.
There was a council.
Right,
and
but he didn't have to do most of the stuff that everybody else had to do to become a Jedi, you know?
Right.
He really only trained for about a week. When he left, he wasn't able to do anything, you know, and then he came back and he was a Jedi. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, we don't know what happened to Ahsoka between now and then. Maybe somebody tells her she's a Jedi and then, you know, she gets to be a Force ghost. So.
Right.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, I guess, I mean, well, cause there's one other option. Like there's, from the Jedi Fallen Order video game, Cal Kestis is the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that character because I've never played the game, but he's another one that people are saying maybe the Jedi that comes to find Grogu. But like, again, that's the other question too. Like, does anybody come find him? Because I don't think they want him off the show. You know, like, I can't imagine next week we don't have Grogu anymore. So,
right.
Like, I don't know if anybody comes to find him, ultimately. Like, I think it probably turns out to be another dead end. And,
yeah.
You know, he's going to have to go on and continue to do something else. Because, again, like, this is the end of the show. Like, I almost feel like the last season is the end of that mission, you know, when he finally gets him somewhere. But in the meantime, they're going to be together.
Yeah, because we have one more season coming.
For sure. One more.
I have a feeling they're going to separate him or they're going to make it look like they're separating in the last episode of this season.
Yeah.
And then we'll be like, well, what happens next year? Is like, yeah. Or it, I don't know. I have ideas, but.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, the one that would make the most sense would be Luke, because at the time that this takes place, Luke would be like forming his Jedi Academy and he would be actively looking for people to train. So.
Yeah.
Like, it would make the most sense, but I just feel like he's the one that we're never going to see because, like, they've said already a few times that they just don't want to keep playing with those characters. They want the story to go in other directions. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what
it's
they
going
do.
To be.
Yeah, what they do. That's fun to think about. Yeah. Well, and I guess we really only have a couple days. Well, actually, probably not, because this episode coming up on Friday, they probably get sidetracked again, and then and then they'll get to the planet at the end, you know?
Right. What do we got?
Because it seems like it's
three
like
three left.
Yeah, and it's every other week that something big happens. You know, it's like
But the last four are usually pretty good.
Well, like
it 8-episode seasons?
It's 8 episodes. Yeah.
Eight.
So this will be episode
left.
6 coming up. So
six,
we'll probably have a sidetrack episode. And then, like, 7 will probably be when they finally get there.
I don't know. Maybe the last 4 will be rock solid.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know. Well, I mean, they're all solid.
Hold
they're
out
all good,
hope.
You know, but.
Oh, yeah. No, can't wait.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it?
That's it, yeah.
We'll be back next week.
Oh, we will. We will.